much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I called you back in because your next task starts right now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Scores, go! No wonder your behind is bleeding.
Well, mashed potatoes are no gravy, you know what I'm saying?
Friendship and trust in the entourage is the most important thing. Like that HBO show, John Adams.
Science says global warming, but I can't help thinking it has something to do with Jews.
Bring it in, morning cheer.
U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi, you ugly. You ugly. You mama say you ugly. Hey!
And now...
That's right. I have camel toe. Soak it in.
Our feature presentation.
That's the way to start a show.
Own
right?
It.
Just right? Blurt it out. Absolutely. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Thursday. It is the 5th of double December.
How's everybody doing? Everybody surviving the cold?
I don't know. It's not proper for man or beast to be outside.
I agree.
I can't believe you even came to work today. It must be what, 48 outside,
dude. It was 34 when I got in my car.
34.
Wow. Come on, that's just wrong.
Yeah, you should have turned around and went back.
Should have gone right back to bed, right?
Absolutely. Yes. That's insane. That's a weather emergency.
That's right. It's an emergency.
I think the news is sad that there's not some sort of precipitation that could really turn this into a thing. I think it's cold because it's clear, but I think that's upsetting them a great deal that they only have low temperatures to talk about and not, you know, some kind of water falling from the sky.
I was watching my daughter play soccer last night and it was just as cold. I thought I was going to die. I called 911 several times.
As well you should. Hey, speaking of calling 911, we go to Richfield, Minnesota today for our story. The happy couple is named Amreya Shifa. She's the wife. I don't see the husband's name here, but it doesn't matter because he's dead. Well, you tell me if this is an overreaction.
Okay.
They're of Ethiopian descent. They've been living in the U.S. for some time now. But he went to her and I'm paraphrasing now, but I don't know the exact words that he used. But he suggested, hey, honey, we've been married a long time. Maybe it's time to spice things up a little bit by bringing another woman into the bedroom.
Sure, that always goes over well.
Yeah, that's a tough one right there. Good luck.
See, now my reaction is very reasonable request.
Of course.
Who could have a problem with that? And I like to point out that he's suggesting the only kind of threesome that is acceptable, which is two women, one man.
Correct.
So her reaction was not, shall we say, favorable.
Not receptive to that
as
idea?
As she stabbed him 30 times in the heart.
Whoa.
Holy so, cow.
No, 911, your audience.
Really? Maybe if your wife has got that kind of temper, maybe you have a friend suggested to her instead. You see how it goes.
Like, perhaps if she gets mad and won't talk to you for 3 days, okay, fine.
Right.
And then the maddest you've ever seen her is, she moves out for a little bit and then back in. But
right.
the point where she starts stabbing you and 30 times in the heart.
Yeah. Might have been excessive.
I'm with Lisa. You did not read your audience well.
Around 5 a.m. One morning this week, police were called to the couple's home. By the way, they had a 2-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter in the house who were fine, completely unharmed. When police arrived, the woman ran from the home with blood on her hands and arms, yelling hysterically about her husband. And they went in and found him in the bathtub. Now, I don't know if she dragged him to the bathtub or I don't know how he ended up in the bathtub, but he had multiple cuts on his body. There were 2 knives in the tub. He'd been stabbed 30 times in the heart, as I said. They had apparently both been drinking. But so don't have that conversation or figure out
some way to ease into it.
Know your audience. Have a friend do it, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Maybe you watch a movie that involves a threesome. You get yourself one of those and then you go, hey, honey,
nope.
Those people are crazy, right?
Yeah, okay, all right.
Say it like that just to kind of – so then you can see if she's, you know, at all receptive to the idea because maybe she'll go, well, I don't know. You know, at least you got an opening there.
But then you got to toe the line though then and you got to go, I don't know. That looks terrible to me. You got to keep testing her every time.
Well, you don't end up like this guy. That's the goal.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Now it's time to get super duper high.
There's a dude who drove from New York to Los Angeles in 1 hour. And
who will not be on our show today.
He's not going to be on the program today. Very excited about that.
You got to start coming to the meetings.
I really do. My internet wouldn't work this morning. I spent...
it froze. That's why it's so cold.
It's too cold for the internet.
It's too cold!
I spent about 10 minutes trying to get it to work, and then I thought, this is ridiculous. But I need to, check stuff. So then I thought, well, I'll go to work early. And then the 405 South was closed.
Oops. Mm.
So I spent, 10 minutes crisscrossing the freeway trying to find an entrance
you
back on.
Finally come early.
Yeah.
Fine. The one time this year you have left early and you hit a jam.
And that happens. So.
And by the way, if you hadn't left early, you would have been late.
Correct. Is there anything else that I should know, Bean?
Yes. Okay. The reason we are not talking to the man who drove 100 miles an hour from New York to L.A. is because we are going to catch up with our old friend Brandon Flowers from The Killers.
Yeah! Well, that's better.
About the world's most depressing Christmas song, their new holiday offering this year called Christmas in L.A. that will make you want to take your life, which is what I'm looking for in holiday music.
Well, you are, as it turns out.
It really is the most sad Christmas song ever.
So every year they put out a song on December 1st for charity, which is great. And they're always in it. I look forward to it every year. I really do. And I love this year's song as well, by the way. But it doesn't put you in the holiday mood. I'll tell you that. If you're alone this Christmas, you don't need this song.
So it's our new feature.
Are you okay? Right. Who hurt you?
John C. McGinley will be here.
He's great.
Talking about his new TV show. Comedian Mike Birbiglia will be on the program. We've got a brand new internet roundup for you.
Okay.
And we have your tickets for the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
If Ralph Garman were here right now, what do you suppose he'd be talking about?
I would guess showbiz.
All right. See if you're right. Ralph?
Weird. Weird intro, but good guess, Kevin. Good guess. Here I am, talking showbiz. It's tonight's the night.
Tonight is the night.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
I'm in.
Lisa, she did the high part.
I know. She's one of the Von Trapp singers.
What happened?
Kevin, you're going to do a little lonely goat herder for us later, aren't you?
Of course. That's my favorite. That's basically what I'm known for.
Weren't you real quick?
No. Come on, do it. Weren't I what, B?
Weren't you Liesl of the Sound of Music? Did we learn that about you one time?
That's correct, yeah. Here is a little clip of me singing on stage. So it's not your typical.
I only hear a lonely goat herd, Larry, only, only.
Well done.
Carrie Underwood takes on the role made famous, of course, by Julie Andrews in a live presentation tonight of The Sound of Music on NBC.
Now, I thought there was going to be a movie made about this. This is what
what's that?
That's what I thought the project was.
No, it's a live TV show.
TV show.
Hmm. Okay.
All right.
What made you think there was going to be a movie made about this? About the making of this show?
No, we just thought it was a movie, not a TV show.
It was a movie.
Did you think it was made out of cheese? That's the movie.
I didn't, but is it?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Ralph, do you think there are many, maybe even most people listening who don't even know what The Sound of Music is?
No. It's a perennial. I mean, families watch it around on their TVs each and every year. It's
okay. It's a famous musical from the 60s, though, right?
Julie Andrews
version.
Well, originally, the 50s on Broadway, and then, the 60s, the big motion picture version. But it's one of those films. It's like Wizard of Oz or something that most people, I think, have run across at some point in their lives. Kevin, I believe, has seen this film.
That's correct. I have. And it's a great movie.
It's a great film.
Great movie.
It's on television every year. Plenty of versions on DVD and Blu-ray. Absolutely no reason to remake it with Carrie Underwood, the country music star, in the lead.
Agreed.
Except that NBC is desperate to get her audience to watch, I'm assuming. True Blood's Stephen Moyer will play Captain Von Trapp.
Okay, that'll be weird.
It will. I don't know if he's a singer or what's the what, but we'll find out, I guess, tonight.
You've seen him so much in True Blood in that character, you just go, okay, I don't know what I'm looking at here.
The hook is tonight, apparently, it's live. It's live.
Anything can happen.
Live. Carrie Underwood might just wet herself right there on stage. You don't know. Anything can happen.
If that happens, I will be very happy.
I don't believe it'll be live here in the...
Just on the East Coast?
It's tangled.
Yeah. Oh. You think they'll cut out any parts?
All the curses.
Yeah, they'll cut out all the curses.
Oh. You know, it's funny, Ralph, the show is live tonight, as you mentioned. However, Tuesday of this week, the soundtrack album went on sale. They've already recorded that.
Yeah, sure. Well, you got to make a buck. Carrie Underwood, by the way, says she's getting hate tweets from people saying she's not Julie Andrews. That's not why I hate Carrie Underwood. Other reasons to hate her. Commercials for the Super Bowl are out now, or sold out now, rather.
Sold out.
Can't get one. Hmm. Remember we were going to get that Kevin and Bean Super Bowl commercial?
We were working on it now.
Yeah, well, apparently no more room. The network Fox did not say how much commercials will cost advertisers, but insiders in the ad business are saying a 30-second spot. How much do you think it's going for? 30-second spot in the Super Bowl.
$1 million.
It's usually around three, isn't it, Ralph?
$4.5 million.
Wow. Do they know it's going to be the Arizona Cardinals? They're still charging $4.5 million?
That's why they're getting that, Bean.
4.5. It's nuts, huh?
Arizona Cardinals are pretty much America's team now, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
Everyone is talking about it. Ralph's thinking about changing allegiance now.
Yeah, I'm getting my Carson Palmer jersey.
I don't blame him.
The reporter says production of the Fast and Furious 7 has been put on hold indefinitely due to Paul Walker's accident. Around half of the film has been finished shooting before Walker died, and Universal now is assessing all their options regarding moving forward with the franchise. So they really don't know what to do. Apparently there was a ton of stuff for him yet to shoot. Mm. And so they are in a quandary regarding whether they should even finish it, whether it's too distasteful, whether people would not want to see that anyway. So they got a lot of thinking to do. But very exciting news when it comes to the Batman versus Superman film.
Okay.
Ben Affleck, of course, will play Batman. Henry Cavill will return as Superman. And now we know who's going to be Wonder Woman. Woo! Wonder Woman!
Yes.
Gal Gadot!
Oh!
Huh?
Gal Gadot.
I don't know who that is.
I have been eagerly anticipating your reaction to this, Ralph, after I saw how disappointed the internet was yesterday. How do you feel?
I don't understand their disappointment. She's
boobs. Boobs is their disappointment.
Because she's not a busty broad?
That's what a lot of them are saying. I think a lot of them have just Linda Carter in mind, and they want somebody who looks like her, I think.
She was the TV Wonder Woman way back when.
Right. And in the comics, of course, like every woman in comic books, she is a massive breast.
Sure.
She is an Amazon. She's supposed to be like a powerful, a big-ish woman, who can kick ass.
Right.
But here the thing about Gal Gadot is, she's an Israeli. So, like all young Israelis, she served in the army for 2 years.
You're forced to.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a mandatory.
Yeah.
She worked as a fitness instructor. She has firearms training. And she's a lovely, dark, raven-haired actress. I mean, she looks facially much like I imagined Wonder Woman would look like. I was surprised by the blowback yesterday on the internet.
So you're okay with it?
I think she's fine. Yeah, I think she's fine. She looks like a girl who could handle herself. She's an exotic beauty. I think she's got a lot going on for her.
Okay. I was pulling for Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black. That's who I wanted to see.
Well, sure. Why go the easy route, though? Why go the obvious route when you're casting?
That's true.
That's what I say. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Frankie Muniz is 28 years old today. Hope he's okay. He had another mini stroke a couple weeks ago, remember?
That was terrible.
Jessica Pare from Mad Men, Don Draper's wife, 31 years old today. Amy Acker is 37 years old today.
Actress. Who's she?
Amy Acker? She's an actress.
Okay. Person of interest.
Well, I know her. Oh, is that what she's from?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is she a... Is she Root? Dave, talk to us on the air, for God's sakes.
Yeah, she's Root.
She's Root, yeah.
She was also on Angel.
Yeah, she deserves a bell.
Okay.
All right.
Actress Paula Patton is 38. Director Judd Apatow, 46 years old today. Drummer David Lovering of the Pixies is 52. And guitarist Peter Buck of a little band called R.E.M. celebrates his 57th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Obviously, you are running out of time to win your way into the sold-out 24th annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas shows. Those are this weekend, kids, at the Shrine Auditorium. We will be webcasting. Get all the details for that at KROQ.com. And be sure to be listening at 9 o'clock this morning. We'll give you a chance to win them. In fact, every hour all day long today, all the way up until 6 o'clock, win your way into both nights of Acoustic Christmas.
Woo! Bean makes us guess stuff.
Good.
Well, it's our new feature.
I'm with Ralph that I look forward to the end of the year lists as we look back to the previous 12 years. And yesterday we had a fun guessing game where we were guessing the top 10 dog names of 2013.
It was fun for Ralph and Lisa who scored.
I think you guys are both going to do well today. Lisa, I'm a little bit worried about you because today's list is Bing has come out with their list. You know, Bing and Google are the search engines.
Oh God,
Bing has come out with their list.
Thing.
It's a, yes, of the top 10 most searched for athletes of 2013.
Athletes.
All right, I'm going to have to recuse myself.
No.
You have to guess athletes, Lisa.
You have to guess like
Come
I did
on,
yesterday.
Lisa, you know famous people.
Famous people. Yeah, these are people that a lot of times
if you
athletes,
know them. If they're athletes that you know they're in the top 10, Lisa.
Yeah, true.
All right.
That's a good point. And a lot of times, remember, Lisa, that athletes are searched for because of some factor having to do with their celebrity relationship,
right.
Something like that. It's not always necessarily something that's on the field or on the court.
Raping people in Colorado. There's lots
sometimes
of reasons.
That, sometimes sure. That's a factor, right. So anyway, so we'll do like we did yesterday, and I wish everyone well. We'll start with we'll let Lisa go first. In fact,
all right,
and we'll just go around the room here and take guesses, and we'll play a couple of rounds and see who scores the most points. Top 10 most searched athletes of 2013, Lisa.
Men and women combined.
Well, I'm blanking
that's right.
on the name I want to say, so I'm going to say LeBron.
And
James.
I should also say, by the way, that apparently this list is U.S. This is
okay.
U.S. So you're not going to see Kevin. I'm sorry, any of your precious soccer players.
How dare you?
Oh.
So my guess is LeBron James.
Yes, that's an, obviously that's an outstanding guess. Surprisingly, by the way, he is number six on the list of most searched athletes as a two-time NBA champion with the Miami Heat. And I'm going to give you guys a hint for something for you to chew on here. He is not the highest searched basketball player on the list this year. But Lisa does have a point with LeBron James. Kevin, you're up.
He's not the highest. Kobe Bryant?
I'm sorry. Kobe Bryant is not.
That's absurd and ridiculous.
He is not in the top 10. Ralph.
Are you lodging a complaint?
With the commissioner, whoever that is.
Athletes searched for, I would say, Tiger Woods.
Number three, Tiger Woods, named 2013's biggest surprise in golf, you guys. He won five times this year, although none of them were majors. He is number three on the list. Great
but
guess.
Who was searching for him last year, Tiger Woods?
He's just golfers.
He was just
millions of Americans.
Yeah, a lot of people are into golf, Kevin. I know it's not on your radar, but it's a huge, huge thing.
I protest.
And remember, there's a fascination with it. Ever since the breakdown of his marriage with his wife, he has turned into a bona fide People magazine type celebrity where people are interested in, you know, who he's dating and things like that.
A bona fide one.
See? All right. So Ralph has a point. Lisa has a point. Lisa, it's you again.
Lamar Odom.
I'm sorry, no.
Oh, that's a good
really?
That's a good scandal though.
Yeah,
that's a good scandal.
Great guess, just because of being in the Kardashian orbit. I would have made the same guess.
I'm going scandal as well with. I don't know his first name, but I think his last name is Hernandez. That got arrested for
Aaron
murder.
Hernandez from the Patriots.
Yes.
Great guess, Kevin.
Oh, come on! You just don't like me. How is that not
make the list? Besides the point, you're not on the list.
How
either.
Is that not in the top 10?
I didn't
you know.
Why?
I don't
know.
Because he's reading the top 10 and it's not there.
Oh. Come on.
My turn?
Yeah.
I'll
yes.
stick with the scandal theme and I'll go with Lance Armstrong.
Ooh.
No.
Ah, no.
Ooh, that's surprising too.
I bet he would have been last year.
Yeah.
I think last year is when most of the Armstrong news broke. Lisa.
Eli.
Eli Manning.
No.
Well said.
No?
Whoops, sorry.
It's a very short beep.
It was. No. Wow, this is a little tougher than I thought it would be.
Oh.
Higher NBA player. That perplexes me.
Kevin's got his panties in a twist.
Higher than LeBron.
One. No Kobe on the list.
Who would be higher than LeBron?
Mm. By the way, I don't want to give Kevin undue advantage because it's his turn, but I didn't say he was an NBA player.
Yes, you did.
You said basketball player.
Oh,
I said he was basketball. I said LeBron was not the highest basketball player on the list.
So
it could be a woman, you're saying?
By the way, you might also be thinking of other sports, too,
don't
Kevin.
Think it. Just say a goddamn name.
It's just, I can't, but.
Ugh, I smell the wood burning from here. Just say a
Charles
name.
Barkley.
No.
Rob Gorman.
In thoughts of moving things along, I'm just going to start yelling names out. How about Tom Brady? Quarterback Tom Brady. Well,
I can't think of any more names.
You're all out of athletes?
It's every athlete she knows, she's already said.
Lindsey Vonn.
Right.
Yes, Kevin. Lindsey Vonn. Number two on the list. She's so hot.
Yeah, because everybody wants to know what
the alpine skier.
Tiger's girlfriend looks
like. Right. Tiger's girlfriend, exactly. She got injured back in February, again in November. A lot of speculation as to whether she'll be ready to play in the Olympics. Excellence. Number three, you guys have gotten.
I'm going to give myself 2 points for that one because it's the highest one.
Oh, what is the score, by the way?
Well,
is anyone keeping track? Is it 1-1-1?
I got one.
No, Ralph has zero, and
what?
Then Lisa and I have one.
No.
I have zero.
Ralph had one. Hit Tiger.
How about Tiger Woods, at least?
Yeah. All right, I think we're all tied at one apiece here.
Well, if you're going to keep score, how about just doing that? Do that.
I have to do that and guess.
Write a number down.
I can't do both.
Let's go around one more time, and then we'll reveal the top 10 most searched athletes for 2013. I believe it's Ralph's turn.
Is it? Michael Jordan.
I'm sorry now. Lisa.
I can't think of his name, but Big Poppy is his nickname on the Red Sox.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Okay.
David Ortiz, no.
Any other baseball players?
Yes.
Because I'm out on that. Clayton Kershaw.
No, I'm sorry. All right, guys, here's your list. Top 10 most searched athletes for 2013. Number 10, Maria Sharapova.
Sure.
Number 9, Derek Jeter from the Yankees. Number 8, Dwight Howard. Of course, his disappointing turn with the Lakers and then went on to Houston.
Well, I think it went well with the Lakers. I was
happy with that. Number 7, Danica Patrick, who really came on big this year with the auto racing. Number 6, we mentioned, was LeBron James. Number 5, Ray Lewis. Retiring from the NFL after 17 seasons with the Baltimore Ravens.
Never heard of him.
Number 4, and I would not have expected anyone to come up with this, but the highest-ranking basketball player on the list was University of Louisville's Kevin Ware, who you recall broke his leg on the court during March Madness this year.
Ugly break.
My God, that was terrible.
It was one of the most horrific sports injuries we ever had to endure. Number 3 was Tiger Woods. Number 2 was his girlfriend, Lindsey Vonn. And no one came up with the most searched athlete for 2014. Beer Mug, do you want to take a stab at this since the guys all came up with blanks?
Muffins!
How about one of the Williams sisters?
Good guess. The answer, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Tebow.
Yeah!
Tim Tebow.
A lot of Christians on the internet.
The person who did the least last
exactly.
year.
That's right. He made less of a contribution to football than almost anyone else in the sport. By the way, Peyton Manning, I would have way put in the top 5.
Yeah,
Wouldn't you have thought with the year he's had in 2013 that Peyton Manning would be all up in this list?
Yeah.
And not in the top 10.
I thought Brady was all bunching in that whole glamour thing and that people would be looking
at. Great guess.
You think they would be all up in this list?
I thought they might be all up in that list.
Today is the day that Anchorman fans have been waiting for as Ron Burgundy himself takes over ESPN SportsCenter.
You can have South Beach, LeBron. Ron Burgundy is taking his talents to Bristol.
I can't wait. That's going to be airing. Is it at 6 o'clock?
I heard 6. I heard 5.
I think it's the 6 o'clock Sports Center, but it makes me wonder if we get it at 3. I'm not exactly how that works or if they're going to delay it. I don't know what they're doing. But Ron Burgundy himself, Will Ferrell in character, is going to be taking over Sports Center. And they've been doing some promos this week, including this one where he interviews Peyton Manning of the Denver Broncos.
You are one of the great quarterbacks playing the game today. You've had a lot of success, and yet you've done it all without a mustache. You're running around out there And I'm going to be honest with you, you look like a succulent baby lamb, okay?
I guess to tell you the truth, I never had much of a desire to grow any facial hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've managed to play quarterback okay without a mustache. Eli tried to grow one a while back without much success, I have to say.
Oh, I saw that. It did not look good.
By the way, Peyton Manning has been a professional athlete for a long time. Do you suppose he's ever been called a succulent baby lamb before?
No, I'm guessing not.
Will Ferrell as Rod Burgundy continues.
So you play in Denver for the Broncos at Mile High Stadium.
Correct.
Tell me about your relationship with Thunder.
Our mascot,
yes.
Thunder.
Yes.
You're talking about the horse that runs up and down the field every time the Broncos score.
Oh, yes. I've had my eye on that wonderful beast for decades.
By the way, I have a friend, a pretty close friend, who categorically denies that Will Ferrell is funny. What? That's really? Science.
There's nothing funny
science.
About him?
Doesn't like him in any movies. Doesn't think he's funny. Says he's the most overrated performer in show business. I want to find a succulent baby lamb leg and hit him in the face with it. How wrong could a human be? Is that grounds to not be friends with him anymore?
Yes.
If he doesn't think Will Ferrell is funny, I got no time
move
for
on.
A guy like
right.
that. Right?
Correct.
Exactly. All right, one more as Ron Burgundy talks about his own athletic exploits in the past.
I mean, I know. I played a little in my day. San Diego State, scout team quarterback. I used to yell, Chekhov, all the time. Chekhov. No clue what it meant. When I saw someone on that defense move, I just yelled, Chekhov, Chekhov.
I'm sorry. That's just hilarious. Especially to the guy who shouts the most variables at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Peyton Manning. He also did an interview in – I have highlights of an interview he did with Bill Curtis, a news guy, in 2004 when the first Anchorman came out.
Ron Burgundy was making the rounds too back
That's
then,
correct. So he's doing an interview with Bill Curtis, and they start this way.
Tonight I am an open book, so feel free to ask me anything. And, you know, I'm not going to pull any punches tonight.
All right.
Well, just straight talk. Straight talk.
Straight talk. That's what I like. You have just been immortalized.
Mm.
How does it feel?
You son of a bitch. Going right for the jugular, aren't you?
It's not a hard question.
I'm sorry, Bill. You're right. I overreacted.
Very good. I mean,
I'm very nervous. Very nervous right now.
It's okay. Just settle down.
Settle down.
We're friends. We can get through this.
We can get through this. This will help as well.
Yeah, and he takes a drink. He is, he's awesome.
Yes.
And he continues talking about this particular movie.
It truly is an honor to have a documentary made about yourself with such complexity and great footage. I don't know how they got half of that.
Somebody
how,
had that camera stuff. Rolling. And accuracy? Was it accurate?
Was it accurate? Well, they toned down a lot of my sexual exploits, I have to say, because I was a demon. I was a demon. I still continue to be a demon with women and
men.
And men, sure.
Well, tell us about your homosexual exploits.
Well,
it's a newsroom.
It is. It's a newsroom. It was the 70s. There were only men. It was a looser time.
There were no women in the newsroom.
There were no women.
And you were bonded.
Let's see. I probably had about 11 homosexual experiences. I had a little fling with Warner Wolf, local sportscaster in the area. I don't know if Warner's here tonight.
Let's go to the videotape. What was
and
he doing
I lived
drinking?
With him. I lived with him for 11 months up in Vermont.
That it was no accident.
But it was no accident, and yet I wouldn't call it a homosexual experience. It's just two guys talking about building model ships and sports. And walking in nature without their clothes. I mean, that's pretty much it.
By the way, Will Ferrell is funny. Ron Burgundy's one of the greatest movie characters of all time. And we have just been handed a bulletin, and this is terrible news, Kevin, that ESPN has canceled or at least postponed Ron Burgundy's appearance on SportsCenter tonight due to late-breaking news in the Florida State sexual assault investigation. Apparently, there's going to be a press conference instead, so it's being canceled because today has turned into a hard news day, so no word on whether it will be rescheduled or not. But please, come on. What's more important?
Right.
Florida State sexual assault case or my Ron Burgundy on TV? Comedian and actor Mike Birbiglia joins us next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show, and the great John C. McGinley coming up as well. Right now, though, how about a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
So many great videos throughout the internet all week long. We put them all into one handy location at kevinandbean.com or krock.com, and we call it the Internet Roundup. One of the things you got to check out, by the way, that is actually just came out last night is from Universal Pictures. They put together a very moving tribute to the work of Paul Walker in the Fast and the Furious movies, and you should definitely check that out. As Ralph reported, they have suspended the franchise till further notice so they can regroup and figure out how they're going to go on, if at all. So check out that video. I don't care really that much about either Auburn or Alabama, but that football game last Saturday, I'm still thinking about the way that ended. And somebody has taken the radio call, the audio from the amazing end to that game,
and recreated it on the old Tecmo Bowl. You guys remember the old football game that you used to play, the Tecmo Bowl?
Barely. I barely remember that.
Best game ever.
It's super low tech. It's hilarious to watch this call, and here's a little bit of it, and just imagine it being played out on a tiny little 8-bit screen.
56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
I don't get tired of hearing that call. I love it so much. There's a great video up next that is fan reactions. Now, I don't know why anyone would put a camera on somebody's living room while they're watching a football game, but apparently a lot of people do. And here's just one example. This guy happens to be an Auburn fan watching the end of that game.
Go, go! You can run it out! You can run it out! Sheena! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
My God, that guy must have been in beer mug trouble with his finances.
Yeah, he might have been playing for his legs.
Right.
He did. Is he the guy, Dave, who does a complete backflip in his living room?
I don't know. He's so excited.
Yeah. And by the way, there's a whole bunch of those in a row of Auburn fans, and then there's one very sad family watching at the end that are Alabama fans, and the look on their face when the game ends is the best.
Who videotapes themselves watching events?
Right?
That's what I asked.
That's weird. I can't figure it out.
Why does this exist?
And why does Dave sound like a transsexual today?
Right? End of the year, of course, is all the mashups. Right? We do have a great best movie mashup of 2013. That's on the Internet Roundup. There's two different versions that are both so good we put them both up at the Roundup of all the biggest and best pop songs of the year. The first one is from DJ Earworm. Here's a piece. Now, Kevin, you edit a fair amount of video in your real life.
Yes.
You know how difficult it is to do well. How insane is that mashup that he did?
Omar's on vacation. I have to ask him how they do it. I literally have no idea.
Yeah, it's
incredible.
I really
don't know.
The other one is from another great DJ named Daniel Kim. His is called the Pop Danthology 2013. I think this one has like 65 songs or something, and it's insane. The people who go through every episode of a TV show so they can pull out a word here and a word there just to make somebody sing a song,
right,
are amazing to me. How and why do they do it? But thank God they do, because that's how you end up with Captain Picard singing a Christmas song for you.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, make it so. Make it so. Make it so.
Patrick Stewart singing Make It So. I love it so much. Speaking of singing, Jimmy Fallon's got a lot of great musical guests on his show. Last week, he welcomed Carrie Underwood and Rashida Jones from the Parks and Rec. They were singing a medley of pop songs, but they changed them all to be Thanksgiving-related. I think it turned out pretty well.
I feel like I weigh a ton. My pants are coming undone. Turn on that microwave, son. We're up all night.
I hate the thigh of the turkey, the gravy, everything you made me.
So that happened. That's a thing.
That's a thing. That exists.
Epic rap battles are back. This is where they take historical figures and have them battle up against each other, and they're always so well done. They look like them. They sound like them. Here's Michael Jordan versus Muhammad Ali.
Why don't you dodge this battle like you did Vietnam? Cause you got as much chance of beating me as LeBron. I'm a flying machine like the world has never seen. You can fight one man, I can drive through a whole team.
Ooh, here comes Jordan, big tongue wobbling, flying through the air like a big dumb goblin.
That's great.
He does a fantastic Muhammad Ali, doesn't he?
And that's Key and Peele.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Victoria's Secret model show, which airs December 10th this year, is finally getting good. They've finally figured out a way to make that show watchable.
God, what's wrong with you? That's the best hour of TV all year.
Because this year's show that's already been taped features the beautiful one and only Taylor Swift. So she's going to be performing on stage.
Way
and
to ruin it.
A bunch of the Victoria's Secret Angels did a lip-sync version of her big song from earlier this year called I Knew You Were Trouble. So Lindsay Ellingson is in here, Alessandra Ambrosio, Candace Swanpool, Adriana Lima, Lily Aldridge, all of our favorites singing I Knew You Were Trouble and talking a little bit about what it's like to be an angel.
The world moves so fast. The lights burn so bright. But I just thought, you look so much like an angel when you smile. Maybe we all angels.
Nope.
On the inside.
Oh. Maybe we're all angels on the inside, guys. You ever think about that?
Never did, not once.
I'd like to say, and this is Kevin speaking, go ahead and watch that video with the audio down. That's volume off.
So in other words, turn it on, watch the Taylor Swift part, and then just fast forward through the rest of the BS. You guys remember Rebecca Black, Friday, her song from about 3 years ago?
She's not back, is she?
A lot of people think it's one of the worst songs ever recorded, and somebody thought it would be a fun idea to take Rebecca Black, who's now, what is she now, Dave, almost 16, I guess?
She's going to be like around 17, yeah.
All right, so they decided it would be fun to have her sit down and watch that video that she made the rest of us watch 3 years ago and get her reaction to it. And the way it looked, it almost looks like she hasn't seen it for a long time because she's as horrified by it as
all right.
We are. Oh, my God. I can't get over that blue eyeshadow. I can't do it. I can't do this. All right, you know, let's just skip this part. I don't even.
Yeah. I think all of us would be that way. Don't you think, like, when you were 18, if you were shown what you did when you were 14, 15?
Yes. When I saw that video, I saw the Friday video again.
Yeah.
It's even worse now. Yeah. Like, I still hate it.
It doesn't even hold up as bad. It's worse.
It's bad. And finally, talk about remixers. Our friend Mike Realm is just the best. There are two different remix videos in this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. One is he took the Seth Rogen and James Franco version of the Kimye video and mixed those two together in something he calls Bound 5. And that's awesome and hilarious. You got to check that out. But the one we want to play a clip for you from is he is as obsessed as we are with comedian Amy Schumer, who's got a bunch of stand-up specials. She also has a show on Comedy Central. So he took some of her dirtiest parts and put it together in what he calls the Amy Schumer remix.
I have two words for you guys. It's two words. Huh? My very own gangbang.
Yeah, that's strong. That's a good one for the kids who might be listening on their way to school here this morning.
And maybe like Christmas morning when they get up just before they unwrap the toys.
You can check all these out and so much more. Just go to KevinandBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Your family deserves the best. The Exogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Pick one up at Babies R Us and Toys R Us or other fine retailers today. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 6:54.
You guys are all getting thermometers for Christmas. That's a great idea, Lisa. Thank
all right.
you
very
much. You're welcome.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
Lisa said shaft.
She did. She said that.
Remember the band Drive Shaft?
I was thinking that exact same thing when she said it from Lost, right?
Yeah, Charlie's Band.
Charlie's Band from Lost.
I remember that.
Oh, that was the name of it.
The name of the band was Drive Shaft, yeah. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. New list out, the top 10 albums in America, according to Billboard 200. A brand new number one, Eminem's Marshall Mathers LP2, got bumped out of the number one slot. Any guesses as to what took it over in its debut week?
It's got to be One Direction,
One
right?
One Direction, Midnight Memories.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. Midnight Memories. Remember that time my mom let us stay up till midnight? That was their midnight memory. F you, One Direction. Here's the rest of the top 10. Eminem, as I mentioned, drops to number 2. Garth Brooks, Blame It All on My Roots.
Really?
Yeah, Garth Brooks with the number 3 album
He's
in the world.
He still making albums? I thought still. He retired
he
a
did.
Long time.
He did. He
long
did. He retired.
And he did for a long time,
and then
right?
he did 9 years worth of concerts, and then he released a new album in his retirement.
This is his first album in many, many, many years, and it's a Walmart-only album.
Okay,
and
it's, that's what did you say it was? Belong.
It's four. I think it's 4 discs of music and then 2 DVDs in it, and it's only like $25. So it's like you're begging people to buy. They're practically giving it away.
Huh.
That's a lot of information about Garth Brooks.
Way too much.
Well, I bought it. Come on. One album is him doing all his favorite R&B songs, and another album is him doing all of his classic rock favorites. It's a kind of a weird collection.
We played off.
Keyboard Cats had enough of you. Robertson Family, Duck the Halls. A Robertson Family Christmas from Duck Dynasty.
Sure. It's one for Kevin.
Katy Perry's Prism is fifth. Kelly Clarkson's Wrapped in Red, her Christmas CD, was sixth. Lady Gaga, Art Pop, seventh. Luke Bryan, Crash My Party. No thanks. Miley Cyrus, Bangers, ninth. And then the Various Artists, the legendary Various Artists. They're a great band.
They are good. Troub. They're sure successful.
Now, that's what I call music volume 48. It's the 10th most popular CD in America. I told you, last hour, very exciting news. We have a new Wonder Woman. First time since the 70s we've had an actress play Wonder Woman.
Woo.
Back on the big screen. Gal Gadot. Will be Wonder Woman in the upcoming Batman vs. Superman movie. You may have known her from her work in the Fast and Furious films. She was in the 4th, 5th, and 6th Fast and the Furious. She's also a former Miss Israel.
Got to need to do a little more research on her.
She's worth researching.
Mm-hmm.
A lovely girl, and geeks everywhere are up in arms. So
they're upset.
They're not happy with this movie. One thing after another. It's like, oh, first Ben Affleck, now this.
Well, they got a point with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, well,
I don't know about this, but they sure do there.
She seems fine to me.
All right.
Congratulations to Christian Slater. Just got married to his girlfriend in a small civil ceremony at a courthouse in Coral Gables, Florida, last Monday. He is 44 years old. His new bride, Brittany Lopez, is 26.
All right.
And she is very attractive. They got together, and Christian Slater said,
I do. I hope this marriage lasts longer than his last 10 TV shows have. Doesn't he seem like one of those guys who comes out with a show like every season that lasts two or three episodes?
They are desperately trying to make him a TV star, and we just don't seem to be getting on board. Yeah. I like Christian Slater.
I do, too.
His TV shows have not done
a lot of misses, though.
Not really appealed to me.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Frankie Muniz of Malcolm in the Middle fame, of course, is 28 years old today. Actress Jessica Perret. She is Mrs. Don Draper on Mad Men, 31 years old. Paula Patton, lovely and talented actress, is 38. Judd Apatow, talented writer and director, is 46. David Lovering of the Pixies, their drummer, 52 years old. And guitarist from R.E.M., Peter Buck, is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is the most wonderful time of the year. This weekend, of course, the 24th annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas shows are sold out, but will be webcast. You can get all the details at KROQ.com. And while you're there, go ahead and cast your vote for who will be Miss Double December 2014. Do you like Allie Rose? Do you like Brittany B? Do you like Jasmine A? Raina D? A lot of beautiful women up there. Their questionnaires, lots of photos available at KevinandBean.com. And don't forget, the live pageant is going to be on Friday, December 13th. Once again, we are taking over Fullerton, invading the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton for a live broadcast. Everyone is invited. Just plan on coming down and bringing a new unwrapped toy for us. We'll see you there.
I am I'm no fan of politicians, although I do believe my new favorite is Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
Really? Why is that?
Why, Scott? Because a lot of people don't like him because he's the union busting governor, right?
Right. He had the balls to send out an email on Black Friday saying, hey, don't spend money on your kids for Christmas. Send it to me for my reelection campaign.
What? Oh, my God. That was
his idea.
Did he say it in those terms or did he couch it in political speak?
Instead of electronics or toys that will undoubtedly be outdated, broken, or lost by the next holiday season, help give your children the gift of a Wisconsin that we can all be proud of.
he did come out and say it.
Literally wants you to not spend money on your kids at Christmas, but to send it to him.
And just
politics,
show them.
Right? What are you going to do?
I love
right.
it.
Show them a picture. Honey, this is what you got for
right.
Christmas.
Right. But
this
I
year.
Sent the money to a mayor of another city that I'm not even a part of.
My gosh.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, as I mentioned, very controversial, in and out of the news a lot, even on the national platform in the past year. Let's find out what's going on in the great state of Wisconsin as the governor joins us on the phone on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hi, Governor.
Hey there, fellas. How you doing, eh?
We're good, eh?
Well, we're fine, but I got to be honest, a little bit puzzled by your approach on Black Friday.
Well, I don't understand why you'd be confused by it. It seems to be pretty simple, don't you know?
But I mean, do you actually want parents to not buy their kids stuff?
Well, it's not that I don't want them to buy their kids stuff, but you know, they certainly could take that money and spend it more wisely, I think.
Okay, but if they spent it more wisely, as you say, which of course means send it to you, their kids won't have Christmas gifts.
Well, now, think about it. You get your kid, I don't know, what are the kids loving these days? You got the Furbies or the Cabbage Patch Dolls or whatever they're liking?
Right.
You get them that for Christmas. Sure, they're happy for a couple hours there on under the tree there on Christmas morning. But, you know, they'll be a lot happier when we bust up that sanitation worker union, you know?
Now, you think a five-year-old is going to be happy about that?
He will when his garbage is being taken away more efficiently, I'll tell you that much. Hey, look at that, Mommy. They took those trash cans out there. What, land of Goshen. They'd be happier to see garbage being taken away safely, I think, than to have some, you know, Power Ranger.
No kid has ever said those words. Hey, Mommy, look, they're taking the trash away.
Well, maybe not your children. I don't know how you raise your kids, but my kids, they loved it. They loved it when trash days come around, and they'd see an efficient, low-paid sanitation worker staff getting them there and doing what they're supposed to do.
Now, Governor, I have to, just to play the devil's advocate here, it seems like it would be a great stimulant to your state of Wisconsin if people instead would go out there and buy from local retailers. Wouldn't that do more to help the economy in your state than just sending all their cash to you?
Economy, shmonomy. That's what my motto is.
That's not much of a motto.
No, it isn't. But what really matters is politics and politicians. And that's how you, you know, change Wisconsin for the better, really, is to get money into my campaign. And then get me out there, you know, so I can defeat the Democrats and then make sure that we have a Wisconsin we can all be proud of.
It's a neck-and-neck race right now. I mean, don't you think there may be some negative publicity, some fallout maybe as a result of your tactics here that may actually end up helping your opponent? Because she may be able to come across as being family-friendly as opposed to you.
Well, I have to admit it is a close race right now, don't you know? And I just believe that this is going to be working in my favor, I believe. Because I think, look... Everyone loves taking toys away from kids.
No,
yeah, that's one thing everybody gets behind.
Okay, hold on. First of all,
everybody loves a sad child on Christmas morning. So I think if you take your money and instead of buying your toys and your things for your kids, I don't know what they like now—the Spirograph, the lava lamps. I don't know what the kids are into. Now, what you do is you take that money, you send it to me, and then I can spend more time, you know, making sure the teachers are poorly paid and making sure that other unions get busted up because kids love a good union fight.
I don't think that's true. I think kids
put out a toy at Christmas called Union Fight, where management beats up like a robot that looks like a teacher or something. Now that would be something worth doing.
Well, you do have a lot of great ideas, Governor.
I sure do. For a stronger Wisconsin and an unhappier Christmas for all. Ho, ho, ho.
Indeed. Comedian Mike Birbiglia left the Largo at one of his sold-out performances this week in Southern California about 20 minutes ago. He pretty much just got out of there and came right to K-Rock, but we welcome him back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks,
How are you, Mike?
I feel good now that I'm here in the studio. Outdoors is horrible.
Yeah, you came where, from New York?
I came from New York, and my wife and I were so looking forward to this trip because I've been touring with the album, and it's been a really long fall. And we were like, "Oh, this is great! We'll go to Los Angeles. It'll be like a vacation,
right?"
Sure. Spend a few days soaking up some sun after the hard slosh, right?
Yeah. And so, what's going on with that, you guys?
Well, that left the sun left, and
it's now Canada.
It's now Canada. It's 30 degrees, and it's supposed
practically the North Pole.
It's supposed to rain all day Saturday. And then Sunday might rebound a little bit, might warm up a little bit. And then you're leaving Monday?
Leaving Monday,
So you may just miss all of the good weather.
That's great.
You came out just for the couple of days that's terrible.
Thanks for having me.
No worries.
So, Mike, you've been working as a comedian for how long now?
I started working the door of the D.C. Improv Comedy Club when I was 19, so... I've been really doing comedy for like 16 years.
I'm not sure that counts.
Does that not count?
Working the door?
Well, they used to throw me on stage sometimes if people wouldn't show up.
All right. But my point is, you've been making a living, or you've been trying to make a living as a comedian for a long time. But the impression I get in interviews that I've been seeing with you lately is you finally just now are starting to be able to really like fill up the car all the way with gas. I mean, it makes it sound like you have really been scraping by maybe until this last year or so, which concerns me.
Yeah, no, I'm concerned as well. And it's time that we figure something out.
When was the last time you slept in your car?
Oh, God. So many years ago I slept in my car, but I did sleep in my car.
Okay.
It's a tough way to make a living, isn't it? Yeah, I actually remember driving home one time from this is how like how sad things were early in my career. I remember driving home from Dayton, Ohio to New York City through the night on after a show on Sunday. I was opening for Mitch Hedberg. I drove through the night, which was like 12 hours to New York, and then I couldn't stay awake anymore. I pulled over to a rest stop in Pennsylvania and just slept for like 3 hours, and this was all to get to an audition for a sitcom pilot. Didn't get it. I guarantee
not.
You. No, but here's what you learn when you're in the business longer is you're like, not only didn't I get it, I don't think anyone watched it.
Really?
Like, I think it was on tape for someone, and I don't think it got to the person who was even casting it.
I always wonder about the videos that people make, and, you know, unless you have a name, there must be a giant pile of auditions someplace in some office.
But then there's some success stories with it, too.
There are.
Like, there's that, I think True Grit, the girl, I think.
Is that how she did it? Haley
Steinfeld. Yeah. I think she put herself on tape, maybe.
Difference is they watched hers.
We had Will Forte in here yesterday. He sent
himself on tape for Nebraska. Yes,
that's how he got Alexander Payton's attention. That's true. So it does work sometimes with more talented people, though. I mean, I think that's the takeaway here, right?
Well, I feel like what you're saying is almost critical.
I didn't mean it that way at all.
I feel like there's a judgment in what you're saying, and I'm kind of stating it in an agnostic sort of way. So, you know, like, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. You're saying it doesn't work for me, and I just don't know if that's where we want to go
with
it.
That is a little more harsh. That's true.
Speaking of driving all night to do an audition, you talk about it, My Girlfriend's Boyfriend, which is Mike's last show, by the way, which is available out now on CD and DVD, and is so funny. Lisa, you saw it on stage, right? Did you go see it on stage? Did you see the show, Lisa?
No,
live show?
I didn't see it.
Oh,
on
you
stage,
didn't. Well,
no.
You suck.
Wow.
Because
it
was raves. It won lots of acclaim and awards and everything. But you talk about doing a lot of driving. I mean, you have been in some accidents. I mean, you've
I had a
paid
car
the
accident.
Price out
I had
on
a car
the
accident in Los Angeles that I talk about in the special and on the album. And it's I was T-boned.
Oof.
By a drunk driver in Venice Beach.
Oh, my God.
At like 1 in the morning. And I was coming from my friend Andy's house to drive to my hotel. I pulled out to make a right onto the small out onto this road. And then I was T-boned driver's side. And then in a really strange turn of events, I was made to pay for the drunk driver's car.
What?
How did that happen?
Because all the accident report, because I went crazy about this. Like I requested the accident reports and I had like the maps up on my wall and I measured. I was like, this is Chinatown. You know what I mean? Like I felt wronged by this whole thing. And I was talking to lawyers and private investigators and all this stuff.
Was he tested?
He blew under the legal limit by the time he got to the hospital. Went to the hospital straight away and then to the police station and blew under the legal limit sort of a few hours later. And so he was fine. Maybe he called his lawyer. Maybe they figured something out behind the scenes. But the point is they found me at fault, and then they charged me $12,000 for the drunk driver's car. Yeah, yeah. So that's one of the major.
So you got T-boned and blamed for it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Dude.
It was horrible. And that's sort of one of the themes of My Girlfriend's Boyfriend. It's about like, sometimes I'm obsessed with the idea of being right, and I can't let it go.
Yeah.
And with that, I couldn't let it go. And then also, in my personal life, I was really convinced, like, I don't believe in marriage. I never want to get married. And it's about sort of how I came to grips with the car accident and getting married. Which now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't phrase this this way.
The car accident wasn't that bad. So marriage. Yeah.
Car accident, getting married, it's about the same, you guys. Come on. We know what we're talking about.
You had to pay for it all. I know
so,
that.
So, like, I'm fascinated. And I do – it's been a while now since I've seen the show. But I do remember how intrigued I was by your thought process on this, because I think everyone – I mean, you bring up a great example of something where clearly – you were wrong, and how do you deal with that for the rest of your life? You can be angry and bitter about that and think every single day, even up till today, how angry you are about it, or you can figure out a way to let it go. What's your defense mechanism to be able to move on from something like that?
Oh, gosh. It's
because we all have something that happened to us.
I get the feeling he hasn't fully learned that yet.
Well, no, sometimes people would come to the show. I mean, I toured this thing for 4 years. I went to Australia and Canada and London and everywhere. And like, so a lot, like in a lot of ways, I had let it go. And then people would come up to me after the show and they would be like, I'm furious about this. Let's go get the cop. And I'd be like, no, you're not going to go get the cop. And then, and then when Jimmy Kimmel came to see the show one night and he was like, let's do something to that cop. You know,
that's a very different offer.
And well, Jimmy likes pranks, and sure. So he was like, "Let's prank that cop." And I was just like, "I can't engage because it's too much for my brain."
You don't want to open that wound.
Yeah,
yeah.
You worked hard to get where you are now.
Yeah, and honestly, at a certain point, you do kind of have to let go of things. Because I mean, this is me getting very after school, especially because I'm rarely asked this very insightful question, which is. You know, I think at a certain point with things, you know, the world isn't fair.
Right.
The world isn't right.
That's correct.
And there is no justice. And so you have to kind of come to grips with that with certain things in your life and just say, you know, I love my wife, I love my family, and I'm lucky to have them, and not everything has to be right.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that tattooed on my chest. I'm going to
get that tattooed on my penis.
Quote that.
Wow.
Tattoo that.
The whole thing.
Ever since we started talking.
How long? Because just because that's such a long saying.
Oh, I know.
And
I
the
know.
Confidence with which you said, I'll tattoo that with that.
I already have tattoos on it, so there's not much extra room, but I'll make it
Mike Birbiglia is here. The show is called My Girlfriend's Boyfriend. It's available on CD or DVD right now through iTunes, Amazon, Netflix, all over the place.
Yeah.
And also playing another sold-out show at the Largo tonight. I hope there's a nap in between for you, Mike. When we come back, we want to talk more with our guest and also talk about the new show that you say is the funniest show you've ever done, and that's debuting next month, right?
Yeah. On
tour. Can't wait. Yep. More with Mike Birbiglia right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Mike Birbiglia in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You can follow him on Twitter at Birbigs and Birbigs.com. That's a terrible Twitter name and website name, but you have a terrible name just for people in general to get their heads around, right?
Has anyone ever told you that?
I feel like Bean is really coming at me in this sort of semi-critical way.
Well, he's very passive-aggressive, Bean is.
Yeah, you slid it in in that friendly high voice, but the content of the sentence was really sort of mean-spirited.
That I'm just trying to help you out.
That's perfect, Bean.
It's, you got a terrible name, terrible website, terrible Twitter handle. Thanks for coming in.
How's that going?
No, it's at Birbiggs, it's it was a shortening of Birbiglia. Everybody my whole life has called me Birbigs, and so then I'm like, let's just make that the website. Or
I don't accept that. So, Mike, when you start a new project, whether it's Sleepwalk or My Girlfriend's Boyfriend, I mean, that's a chunk of time. Like, it seems like everything you do turns out to be 2 or 3 years of your life, right?
Yeah. Sometimes,
it's an investment. When you get into something, you get in deep.
Yeah. I get balls deep into a lot of things, and can I say? Wait,
easy.
No, I can't.
I don't know. It was borderline.
No, you can.
like,
if you're referring to comedy, sure.
Well, yeah, and also like one of those ball pits at the Chuck E. Cheese.
Sure, that's what everyone pictured,
and that's what you meant.
Yeah,
right.
And, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Now,
and,
does it bug you to see comedians that seem to come up with stuff on the fly, really well? Like they can do 20 minutes of new stuff.
What, no. Does it bug me?
Yeah.
No.
Because it takes you so much time.
No. I mean, the show that I have right now, I'm touring with the show called Thank God for Jokes.
Right.
It's a new 90-minute show. And it's actually, I mean, people come to Largo this week. It's really funny. It's great. I don't want to let it go yet. Like, I could shoot it as a special tomorrow, but I'm probably going to work on it for the next 2 years. I'm going to tour. My agent was telling me last night, 100 cities we're going to tour it to.
Oh, my God.
I know. And
in 100 days?
I don't think we're going to do the 100 and 100 challenge.
All right.
That's Katy Perry does that, as I understand it. But we're going to tour 100 cities.
How different will it be from what it is now? When you're done,
it'll be really different. I think it'll be like 30 or 40% of it will be different. Because I think honestly, what happens is there's so many, and this is my sell to people. I've never said that, but this is my sell to people who are considering My Girlfriend's Boyfriend. It's a culmination of 4 years of work. A lot of people just churn out comedy specials because they're famous and they can,
it'll
go out in the world.
Right.
There's so many things right now. There's so many TV shows and movies and everything that I'm not going to release things unless I really feel like they're perfect and I've honed it to as good as it can possibly be. And this one got to a point where literally my agent had to take it away from me. He was like, we're going to film this year.
Done.
It's going to be on Netflix, and then you're going to move on.
Would you tinker
with it
forever?
And I was like, I don't want to. Yeah, I would have done 3 more years on it.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Because
I love performing the show because, you know, one of the things about this show is, like, people would come and they would propose in the audience at the show because it's a very romantic show.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting married and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, and so it was very special to me. Like, there's something about live performance where it's like you really connect with an audience and you're like enjoying, you're like laughing together, which I think is like a very special, almost a religious experience, which is why my tour is called Thank God for Jokes.
speaking of Thank God for Jokes, and I was interested in this, Mike, because I really am a fan of yours, and you're such a thoughtful person, and you don't see that a lot with people that we have on the show. Or people that work on the show.
That's correct, especially that.
Really taking this it to everybody.
Aren't you going to say that mean to him now?
Wait, this isn't you.
He's not done,
up there,
Lisa.
Oh, okay.
This isn't you getting up there telling jokes. What I find fascinating is your part of what's interesting to you is the role that jokes play in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's fascinating to me because we certainly in this job have seen that change with what is considered a joke anymore. I mean,
yeah,
I feel like we're so limited as to what we can do as a joke anymore compared to what we were able to do 10 years ago. Is that the case for you? Because
I've observed that too. I mean, I feel like the only people you can tell jokes to are your friends, essentially, and you guys can say it to your listeners who are your friends in a certain sense.
But they've clamped down a tremendous amount. Like,
yeah.
Bean's right. 10 years ago to now is. It's radically different.
Yeah,
because people want to be offended now. People, I almost feel like even for comedy shows now, people go and, yeah, they're fans and they want to laugh. But if somebody says something that sits with them wrong, they don't mind being offended about it and blasting that to the world that it shouldn't be said because they didn't like it. That's what
I
see more of.
Yeah, I thought
that
was strange. I actually thought there were two incidents, and I think both in Los Angeles. There was that Michael Richards one, which was, of course, very widely discussed and apologized for on Letterman. Like, he became like a national incident.
Right.
Like, let's talk about this. and then the Tosh one, which was like he told someone that he hopes they get raped or something. Great joke. And both of those, I'm just like, okay, that wasn't the comedian's finest moment, but like it's just in a room. It wasn't being filmed for posterity.
Right.
It's just a thing that happened in a room. Like, you can go up and deal with it. Like, if you're offending the audience, go talk to the comedian or go talk to the manager. Like, who cares?
No, what you do is you write to Comedy Central and demand that Tasha's show be canceled because you're offended by the joke. That's what you do, Mike.
But the difference, and this is very important, the difference is Comedy Central, I'm not positive about them specifically, but I know the big networks and people like that and the people that run this radio station want to offend no one.
Yeah,
and
I know.
And now they take those complaints seriously, which is ridiculous.
Yeah,
they really act like if one person complains, it's everyone.
And that's why
crazy.
That's why I feel super lucky to be able to tour the way that I do, because stand up comedy in some ways is the last bastion of free
speech.
I can walk on stage and say whatever I want. And no one's going to censor it. And that's not true in TV, and it's not true in film, or radio. And it's like, that's what I love about stand-up comedy. It's just what you say.
Yeah, and if it's not funny, people won't come. And then you can either do it or not do it. It's up to you, though. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another backhanded compliment.
That wasn't backhanded at all. What I'm saying is, there shouldn't be outside influence as to whether you do the kind of comedy you find funny enough. That's between you and your audience. The people who like your show should come to your show. The people that don't, if they don't care for you, they shouldn't come to the show. And that's the way it ought to be.
It's just because of the litigious aspects of it.
Right. I mean,
basically, you can't tell jokes in a workplace setting anymore because at some point,
because of women. Oh, wait. That example?
That wasn't what I was getting at, but
you don't even know the story either, so go ahead.
Oh, really? That's based on a specific story?
No, not at all. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Move on.
Basically, you know, you can't tell jokes at work because, you know, at some point in history, some guy showed up at work and was like, "Nice boobs, Betsy." And Betsy's like, "What?" And that guy's like, "I'm kidding." And then the boss is like, "No more jokes." And then that guy storms out. He's like, "Screw Mexicans." They're like, "No one here is Mexican." He's like, "I'm kidding."
kidding. That's why you can't tell jokes, because some people just aren't good at telling jokes. A joke should never end with "I'm joking" or "get I'm her kidding. Done."
Yeah.
Well, I kid that fake cable operator. I'm kidding.
It's just a joke.
Yeah.
All right. I'm so sad that we're almost out of time here with our friend Mike Birbiglia. But
I'm
the
thrilled.
Show is sold out. The show is, you're going right back to bed. That's why. The show is sold out at the Largo. By the way, yeah. Why are you playing the Largo? Is a great venue, but you could
it.
Sell a lot. You could sell a lot more tickets. Why aren't you playing like the Wiltern or someplace fancy?
I will return to Los Angeles when the show is in its full form.
Awesome.
And I think I'll probably do an extended run at a theater
the
somewhere.
The Rose Bowl.
Yes, the Rose. Me and George Lopez are split billing the Rose Bowl, and but I love Largo. It's I feel like it's I'm friends with Flanny and I'm friends with all those guys. I just love it there. It's like, well, honestly, people in Los Angeles should feel lucky that Largo even exists.
Yeah.
It's like any night of the week you go to see some of the best musicians or comedians like in the
Very
world,
special.
And it's
Absolutely.
So small. It's great.
Well, I want you to think of us when you're playing the Fargo Theater in Fargo, North Dakota on February the 21st, Kevin. That's when they've got to be in North Dakota. And then the following night in Minneapolis, because Minneapolis in February is the most beautiful time of the year.
Four cities in Michigan in January, by the way.
You have the best schedule of anyone.
Congratulations. You
really do.
It's insane.
All right.
In
I want
Hawaii.
Everyone to go to iTunes, Amazon, Netflix, or his own website at burbigs.com and pick up My Girlfriend's Boyfriend. It is hilarious. You will love it so much. By the way, you can buy a signed copy at Mike's website if you like it. How about that for a Christmas gift?
Hey, which website is that at?
Burbigs.com.
Yeah, do you like the name?
I love it. I love it. Have fun at the Largo, man. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Right, thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world famous K-Rock at 7:52. By the way, a great 8 o'clock hour lined up for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The phenomenal actor John C. McGinley is going to be joining us in studio.
Yeah.
And coming up right after the top of the hour, we're going to catch up with our old friend Brandon Flowers from The Killers, talk about his new suicide song. See how that's going for
Christmas song.
Christmas in L.A., his new song. We'll talk to Brandon about that in a couple of minutes. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday.
Just watching John C. McGinley the other night in a classic, classic film on Deadly Ground. Steven
was
Seagal.
Was he in that with Steven Seagal?
Steven Seagal, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he worked for Aegis Oil, the evil oil company run by Michael Caine, who are upsetting ancient Indian burial grounds with their drilling.
I love it.
Whatever you did to my rig, stop it now. I don't think so. You're a bad man.
I hope you and John will be recreating some of the scenes from that film when he joins us in a few minutes.
Don't you understand? This project has to be done in 13 days. That's all I have. You don't care about the Earth. Steven Seagal as an eco-terrorist.
Yep, that's him.
It's the best.
All of his movies are A+.
Yes, indeed they are. All right, listen up, people. Friday night, that's tomorrow night, boys and girls, at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I returning with Hollywood Babylon. It's been a while. Been a while, but we're back. It's one of the last few times this year you'll be able to see us. We're doing it this Friday, then next Friday, also in Hollywood at the Improv. And then Brea on New Year's Eve. Two shows on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
If you're down in Orange County, come check us out. Go to theimprov.com for details and click on the Hollywood Club or the Brea Club to get your tickets. But love to see you this weekend. Come on out to Hollywood Friday night, 10 p.m. and see Kevin Smith and I make fun of people who are richer, more talented, and better looking than we are.
Across the United States right now is echoing a two-word response: no thanks.
Come on. Why's that guy got to be like that?
And why is he standing behind a jetliner?
I don't know.
Why did I say jetliner?
I don't know, because you're Steve Miller?
It was at a sporting event, actually.
Okay.
Speaking of tickets for things, how about The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug?
Oh, I love Smaug.
Yeah! Is that a real place? No, it's a person.
I don't know, man.
No, you don't know, man. So just pipe down. Let the grown-ups talk. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, is in theaters everywhere on Friday, December the 13th. You, however, my friends, if you're lucky enough to get through at 1-800-520-1067, we'll see it at our special K-Rock Advance screening December the 10th at the AMC Orange 30. If you are a Middle Earth fan, then you're going to want to see this. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get a pair of tickets to the K-Rock Advance screening of The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
Have you seen the trailer where Bilbo is in there with the vault with Smaug, and he wakes up. That giant dragon eye opens up.
I love it.
Oh, it's awesome.
Looks great.
It does look great. We have a new Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman! We're going to get that theme back on the show.
We don't have to.
All the world is waiting for you and the power you possess. We haven't had a live-action Wonder Woman in some time since Linda Carter back there in the 70s. Gal Gadot is her name. Beautiful Israeli actress and model. You may know her from Fast and the Furious 4 or 5 or 6. She was also Ms. Israel. She's a tough broad, too. She can kick ass. That's right. Come on. Wonder Woman.
This song's awesome.
All the world is waiting for you and the power you possess. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights, and the old red, white, and blue.
Woman. Gal Gadot was in the Israeli army for 2 years. She worked as a fitness instructor for the Israeli army, and they're fit.
They are.
She Ralph, also has firearms training. I mean, she was in the S, man.
I have a question.
Why?
If you already have
Wonder Woman, a real person,
and Batman in a movie, why do you need Wonder Woman?
Because man who doesn't understand things, they are launching the DC movie universe with this film. Mm-hmm. Much like...
So they put in people they want to have...
Avengers did.
They want to have a spinoff for
it. Yes, so you're introducing Wonder Woman in this film. Rumor has it they're introducing The Flash in this film. The cameos of these other superheroes in this attention-grabbing film will launch the film series for other superheroes out of the DC universe.
Will Glenda be there?
Yes, Glenda will also be there. She's going to get a spinoff.
All right, and let me ask another really dumb question for comic book geeks, but I don't know. Have Batman and Superman intersected in a universe before? Or do they live in separate places usually? You don't ever see them together.
Open up a blog.
Word. Word.
I don't know either.
Wait, are you asking if Batman and Superman have ever appeared together before in the comics?
Yes, he is.
No. I'm saying in a movie. In a movie. Have Batman and Superman ever appeared together in a movie? Have they done that in a movie
before? These two characters have never crossed paths in a film
before. They haven't.
This is the first time.
Who gives it, damn?
I believe this is the first time we're going to get any sort of superhero team up from the DC Comics universe. Except, of course, in Smallville on CW, Clark Kent, Tom Welling, would regularly, towards the end of the series, he was working with Green Arrow, he was working with The Flash, he was working with Cyborg, he was working with the
everybody but Batman.
Legion of Superheroes. Yeah, but Batman and Superman never crossed paths.
Obviously.
And even Green Arrow and Arrow is now, this week, Barry Allen was introduced this week, who eventually will become The Flash. So, it's a very exciting time we live in.
You have a lot of imaginary friends.
They are real.
They're not real.
And they are better than you.
They are better than us, yes.
Yes. Especially that Arrow. That's a good show, that Arrow.
That is a good show.
Black Canary just showed up on Arrow this season. It's good stuff. Today's celebrity birthday is Frankie Muniz. He's 28 years old today. Jessica Perret. She is, of course, Mrs. Don Draper over there on Mad Men.
That's a lot of bells.
You know how much I love her.
Even he bells creepily.
He does.
Just a creepy bell right there. She's 31. Paula Patton. A lovely and talented actress in her own right, but also Mrs. Robin Thicke. Whatever it says, twerk for me. Twerk! Twerk! I'm putting on the Beetlejuice suit. Twerk! Like Miley did. 38 years old. Judd Apatow is 46. David Lovering of the Pixies is 52 years old today. And Peter Buck, who was the guitarist for R.E.M., 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I am hoping that Brandon Flowers from The Killers woke up this morning and thought, how can I get on hold with the radio station so I can listen to the Ataris singing Boys of Summer? I'm hoping that was his wish when he woke up, because if it was, we just made it come true.
He scored.
Hey, Brandon, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
I am happy to see you calling from the 702. You're back home a little bit, relaxing, I hope?
Yeah. Taking the kids to school.
Everything cool? Okay. You okay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we were a little bit nervous when we heard this year's Christmas song. Every year, of course, the Killers come out with a charity song on December 1st. This is the 8th year in a row. And when we heard Christmas in L.A., we thought we better check in on our boy and make sure everything was okay. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay, good. Let's talk about this song because we have been analyzing it over the past few days, Brandon, and it may be one of the saddest Christmas songs ever. What can you tell us about coming up with Christmas in L.A.?
Well, I think I, you know, being from Las Vegas, I sort of, you know, sympathize with how sort of non-Christmas it is, you know, in December. And so I took some of that and channeled it into this song, sort of about an actor who's struggling, and maybe he's from from Colorado or Utah or something, you know, some place where there's white Christmases, and he's getting a little bit nostalgic and melancholy, you know, when it rolls around.
Sure. I mean, look, most Christmas songs are all about happiness and family and toys and Santa, but that's not the reality for every person. I mean, you are right that there are going to be people who this time of year is going to come around and they're going to look around and they don't have the job they want, and they don't have the family they want, and they don't have the relationships they want, and it can be a tough time of year. And that's why I'm happy that your song will drive them right over the edge.
That's true. This song will push them towards the light.
Now, that wasn't the intention.
You've had collaborators on past Killers Christmas songs. We remember Tony Halliday on the Great Big Sled song back in the beginning. You teamed up with the Bronx for the Happy Birthday Guadalupe, which I loved, by the way. Tell me how you got together with the band Dawes for this song.
Man, I heard Dawes on the radio, on satellite radio one day. I heard a song, one of their songs. It's called A Little Bit of Everything. Mm-hmm. And it just blew my mind. I was so excited, I love the band, and we've sort of become friends. And I used to talk trash about bands, and one of the things that I found that I like a lot better was when I found a band that I like, I kind of reach out to them and tell them. And so that's sort of how the friendship started. And when we had the idea for Christmas in L.A., the first thing that came to my mind was Dawes, being involved. And so Taylor's a great writer, and that was a treat to work with them.
Well, let's play a little bit of the song with Brandon Flowers on the phone from The Killers here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Then we want to come back and talk some more about this video, which you can see at krock.com. We'll tell you how you can buy the song and talk a little bit more with Brandon. Listen up.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
See, California doesn't have enough of its own Christmas songs, though. Add that to the canon. Talk about the video a little bit, Brandon. How did these actors get involved?
Taylor, he came up with he threw in the line about Harry Dean Stanton in the song. And so it felt pretty natural to reach out to Harry Dean. And you never think people are going to say yes. And they kind of... Once charities are involved, they do, and that was really a blessing. We've got Harry Dean in the video, and Owen Wilson, of course, we're fans of his, and he's come and seen us play a few times, so we thought, we might as well just ask him too.
That's the different world that you're in. You go, I like that person, and I like that person. Let's give them a call. And they return your call. That's awesome.
It's pretty sweet.
It makes a cameo in the video. It's kind of really exciting too for me. Is Warren Zevon, his people allowed us to animate him and bring him back in the video, and he's in a church scene, and it was a reference to one of his tracks, Carmelita.
Yes, I caught that. That was very unexpected and very cool. And you mentioned the animation. I'm glad you did, Brandon, because is it true what I heard that the students from BYU were the ones who actually did the animation for your video?
That's right. Yeah,
that's cool.
I mean, they had no time, and they pulled it together. We're really grateful for that.
Oh, it's a beautiful clip, and if you think the song is sad, wait till you see the video. I mean, seriously. Going to be swinging from the rafters. You can see that at krock.com. How did it all begin? You mentioned the charity, and of course, this is all part of the Red campaign. You released these songs on December 1st. The money goes to World AIDS Day. How did you pick that charity when this whole thing began 8 seasons ago?
Yeah, that's right. Bono Bono reached out and asked if there was anything that we could do. At first, it started out with maybe doing, like, they were doing these Gap campaigns, and we decided that it was maybe more fitting for the band to just, write a song. And World AIDS Day is on December 1st, so that's where it, that's where they became Christmas songs. We decided that was fitting. And then you hear the statistics, and it's hard not to sort of get involved. And, there's 4,800 people die a day from AIDS, and it's just because they can't get these pills that cost 40 cents.
Right,
and we're just, Bono and Bobby Shriver, these people do all the heavy lifting, but we're thankful we can contribute.
Are you happy to write the Christmas songs? Is Christmas something that you love and has been a part of you for a long time, or does it come around in November you go, oh, man, I got to get this done?
Yeah, it's for us, it's one of the great things that I've noticed is it sort of lightens the mood a little bit.
Not this song.
for the most part, it really has brought some smiles to
Brandon is referring back to the early happy Christmas songs that he did, like Don't Shoot Me Santa. That's what he's going for. you can go to KROQ.com and you can see the video, and you really immediately afterwards need to go to iTunes and buy it. It's $1.29 well spent with proceeds to the Red Charity. And by the way, while we're talking about the Killers at Christmas, let me put in a plug for this ought to be under somebody's tree this year in your life. The Killers' brand new greatest hits album called Direct Hits, which features all of their great KROQ songs, Mr. Brightside and Somebody Told Me and Smile Like You Mean It, all the way up to Miss Atomic Bomb, and two brand new songs as well, Shot at the Night and Just Another Girl. Everybody should be buying some Killers for Christmas. And Brandon, we're always so happy to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for spending some time talking Christmas music with us.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Bye-bye now. Look, I don't know anything about Hollywood. I don't know how Hollywood works, but I do know that if you want to make your TV show or your movie better, you get this next man on the horn. Ladies and gentlemen, the great John C. McGinley joining us back in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show.
That's
how
a nice
you,
thing
sir?
To say. I'm better now. It's a really nice thing to say.
Now, do you believe that?
Yeah,
okay.
Positive reinforcement. We're choosing to accept all positive reinforcement.
Look, I started seeing ads for Ground Floor probably during the baseball playoffs on TBS, and I didn't know anything about the show except I saw your smiling face on it, and I said, I got to check it out. I'm in because I'm serious about that. John, you make every show better. And by the way, why – the show is called Ground Floor on TBS. It airs Thursday nights at 10. How did you get to be so buff? What's going on with you?
Free time. When actors have free time, they got to do something. So
you're the Incredible Hulk now.
Either substance abuse or surfing. And so I stay in the water.
How much do you surf?
If there's a bump, I'm out there. So it's flat today, so there's nothing. If there's a bump, I'm in the water.
Every single time?
Yeah.
Most days you surf?
If there's something out there. Now there's stand-up paddle boards, so you can go out and you can get on those.
That doesn't look fun to me. That just looks like work.
It's pretty great. Here's why. Because when you're standing on top of a stand-up paddle board and you're looking down at the ocean, so you're 6 feet up looking down, it becomes tantamount to an aquarium if you're in the shallows, and it's astonishing.
Oh, that's interesting.
You see a leopard shark go by, and you're like, okay, I'm paddling.
Wow. I'm paddling faster than I thought. But you're I'm a gym rat here, John, so I'm interested. You're clearly not getting those pecs and those abs from standing on a paddleboard. I mean, you're spending some time in the gym, Are you too, asking
right?
him out?
No, I have a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 16-year-old. So the inmates run the asylum at my house. So I'm chasing them around. I'm in the water and chasing them around. Here, I was up at 5 this morning moving the elf on the shelf to a different position so that when everybody woke up, that would be okay. So that's what I do with my mornings.
Has the 16-year-old learned how uncool you are now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. profoundly clear to him that I'm uncool. But I'm still snowing the 3- and 5-year-old.
That's right. They don't know yet. No. Good for you. Now, John, when you left Scrubs after 9 seasons, did you imagine you'd go back to another TV show, or do you think you'd take more time off or just do movies, or what was your plan?
No, it's a really good question. I was lucky enough to go to Broadway and do Glengarry Glen Ross with Al Pacino for a year, and then I did 42, the Jackie Robinson movie, so things were segueing off into a really gloriously different direction than TV. And then Bill Lawrence, the guy who invented Scrubs, called and said, do you want to do this show, Ground Floor? We're going to do it live in front of a studio audience like Cheers and Friends and Raymond and Taxi. And I was, having come from doing Glengarry, I was hooked by that. That seemed like
a different
that was a different way to skin a cat.
Did you like the live part of it? Having been on Broadway?
Yes, because you get in pretty good live audience fighting shape, and you get pretty facile and nimble, and you learn how not to call cut, because you can't, obviously, because there's 1,200 mm-hmm. people at the Schoenfeld Theater, and we're doing this play.
Right.
And that becomes much more exciting. Not more
That's
exciting.
Interesting.
It's a different discipline than now, being able to call cut.
Right.
When you film ground floor, though, you can go back and do retakes if something doesn't work, right?
Yes, very much so. And once you get it right, in fact, you're going to be handed alts or alternate lines, and you're going to go back and do it 3 or 4 times. But it's still in front of 450 people over at Warner Brothers in Burbank on stage 19 where they shot Casablanca.
Really?
Yes. And
wow.
For film geeks, that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yes.
Because each stage over in Burbank has a pedigree outside on it, and the titles of different films are there. And for those of us who care, that's pretty cool.
Now, are you positive that was shot there, or they just put that on a bunch of buildings?
I'm choosing to believe that it was shot there.
All right.
I'm choosing to believe that Bogey went through the same door I did.
No matter how long you've been in show business, and John, you've been a working actor for how long?
I was class 50, of 84.
50 years?
Class of 84
like
at NYU, so since 1984.
All right, so you've been acting for a long time. You still must feel that those butterflies and feel like a little kid walking onto a movie set, you know, when you show up at Warner Brothers and you see Casablanca on the building. You have to think, wow, I'm in the long tradition. I'm doing the same job that Humphrey Bogart did.
Yeah, that's not lost on me. I asked Al Pacino one time in his trailer down in Miami. We were doing Any Given Sunday, the Oliver Stone football movie. And I asked him, I said, Al, what do you – I asked him a very similar question you just asked me. What? How come? And he said, because I love being a storyteller. And he distilled it down to that. And if that's good enough for Al, it's good enough for me. So
you know him personally? Can you call him and talk to him all the time now?
Sure. Once you do 8 shows a week on
right.
Broadway, the schedule is 8 a week,
wow.
2 matinees and 6 nights. You get to there's nothing else. It's tantamount to thoroughbred horses putting blinders on. It's
right.
just us. This is what we're doing.
Right.
You're not doing anything else but the show. And so, yes, it becomes big-time family.
Is he much different than I think he is?
No.
You know what I mean?
He's the coolest person on the planet.
That's what it seems like, yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Fantastic. When you guys are doing a show, 8 shows a week, what changes – the audience may not see it, but what changes for you guys on stage? What makes each performance different?
That no one in the house has seen it before, and the margin for error is so profound that if anything goes wrong in a split second, we have to save each other because you can't call cut. And if I forget a line, which on stage is called going up, if I go up, you got to help me. Or if you go up, I got to help you. We got to figure this out because there's 1,200 people who played mm-hmm. pretty close to 400 bones a ticket. And
they can't know that you went up.
Correct. And so I got to get a chill even thinking about it.
such an intense
And so
show
fear
to do.
Informs all of that. Yeah, it is intense.
Oh, my God. It would be exhausting.
It's not exhausting as much as it is terrifying.
Yeah.
Huh. Is there a Broadway expression of going down also or just going up? That's the only one.
Just going up.
Okay.
Just going up.
Is here. He is on a new show that we will talk much more about that looks very, very funny. It is called Ground Floor on TBS Thursday nights at 10. It's so great to have John back on our TV and back here on the Kevin Devine Show. We'll return in a moment on K-Rock.
Yeah, she's 17 years old. That's Lord.
That's impressive.
17 years old. It's world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:39.
Lord, by the way, is playing night number 2 of the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert this weekend at the Shrine. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets in about 20 minutes. Right now, our friend John C. McGinley in studio. He is on TBS's Ground Floor Thursday nights at 10. John, you still with us?
I sure am.
Yeah. Ralph was talking earlier today how he came across you on his cable last night in a Steven Seagal movie. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one he said it was. And I was wondering, with a guy like
it
you...
It was three words, whatever it was.
On Deadly Ground.
On
Deadly Ground, there it was. With a guy like you who's been in so many things for so long, it must be a rare day that you're not flipping around the TV at home and you come across a John C. McGinley project. Does that happen often? And if so, do you watch?
A couple of them. Some I don't care for, but...
What don't you care for?
Highlander 2. I'm not very good in Highlander 2. I went down to Buenos Aires, and I was having an artistic love affair with everything that was Orson Welles. And so I decided that Before I went down to Buenos Aires to shoot Highlander number 2 with Sean Connery and all these great people, that I would lower my voice 2 octaves. So
what?
Because Orson Welles was way down in here.
Right.
And I decided that, that'd be a pretty good idea because... And so I go down to Buenos Aires and I'm playing the third bad guy on the right. And whenever I open my mouth, I look like a complete jackass because there's some sound coming out that's not in any way connected to this vessel. And it wasn't supported by anything in the story, but I just had this Orson Welles thing going on. And when I watch the film now, it is cringeworthy.
Oh, that sucks.
Me and that flick.
Are you shocked that Office Space is never not on TV? You can turn on TV any time of the day or night and find it on some channel.
Well, the most interesting thing about Office Space is that when I went to the cast and crew screening the week before it came out, I thought it was pretty funny and everybody laughed. And then it came out and it was a dog with fleas. It completely tanked. I think it was only in movie theaters for 2 weeks.
That's so funny.
And then for some reason, by hook or by crook, it got traction in ancillary delivery systems. And now people watch it. But
I mean, it's a comedy classic now, right? I mean, it's a movie that you and your friends, everybody knows every line of it. It's so great, and your character is so great,
and Jennifer's great in it, and Ron
Livingston
great in it.
Is great. I mean, how do you explain something like that? Like, I mean, was that just a marketing problem or what?
I think you just put your finger on it. If you go back and, or if you look at your cassette, your disc of it, the cover art is of the one guy covered in Post-its. And if you look at it really quick, as we do when we're flashing through the newspaper, he looks like Big Bird.
Okay.
And so
all right.
If you were flashing through the newspaper, that would be a film you probably as an adult weren't going to go see, some Big Bird movie. Okay, so that's out. Goodfellas. Maybe I'll go see Goodfellas.
It's a little rough. Right. That's a rough business to be in, that you get judged that quickly and discarded that quickly.
No question. But when every time I see the cover art, which was also the advertisement in the newspaper, it's of
I can see the guy
covered in Post-its.
Yep.
Interesting.
Big Bird.
Let me ask you about one more movie before we talk some more about Ground Floor, your new show on TBS. And that is, since the last time we had you in, you played the great Red Barber, the announcer for the Brooklyn Dodgers in 42. That's a role of a lifetime, right? Playing a real live iconic character like that?
It was the first time I ever got to play a real life person. Everything else has been a work of fiction that a screenwriter or somebody has generated.
Scrubs wasn't real?
No, he was based on a real guy, but he wasn't real.
Because I was going to ask you to look at a mark on my chest. I thought, you're a doctor.
So with Red Barber, the challenge there was that for the Brooklyn faithful, which is an aging demographic, they hold Red's sound dear as a father might hold a son, and they're not kidding. And so I wanted to elevate to that. I made that the mandate, to elevate to that sound. And, of course, everything in the script, it was voiceover. And then I got to Atlanta for 3 days, which is where I shot. And the director, which is a glorious challenge, said, we're going to shoot all your stuff live. We're going to shoot you. And I just about had a heart attack. And so I just stayed up all night and pulled like a college all-nighter. And I got the stuff in my skull instead of just reading it off the page. And then we shot it. And so it was nice to be more than just a voice in the film.
Are you good at memorizing?
Yes.
You are.
You must be, yeah.
I think it's a muscle you can get, you can make strong.
I have not made it strong.
But with Ground Floor, they end with Scrubs, you're handed dialogue sometimes on the way to the set. And what happens is that if you can't execute it, we'll find somebody who can. And so somebody else in the ensemble will elevate and you'll be diminished.
No kidding.
Now, I'm too competitive not to elevate.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear you say that just because there are so many really young actors on this show. I mean, they've got to really step up to play in your league then, if that's how it goes.
I know, but Skylar Anson, who was in Pitch Perfect and also did Spring Awakening, which won a Tony, this is a young guy who's been in a Broadway musical, and he's done 8 a week. And then Briga and Rory, this is a really skilled group. I was astonished when I first met them how bright and vibrant and skilled they were. I always think of skilled like I think John Ritter. He came and played Zach's, rest in peace. He played Zach's father in Scrubs. And when you saw Ritter, I've always assumed it must be like how Bob Newhart is. is just meticulously skilled in the format of television.
Right.
And that's the way these young kids are, because they've all been doing it for a long time. And I say young kids affectionately. They're 25, 26, 27. And they come on and they can sing and they can dance and they can act. They can really just bring it. And so with that kind of fresh vibrance going on, I think that's contagious.
Describe for people the show.
Shows
who called, you are and why.
Show called, is called Ground Floor. It takes place in an office building in San Francisco, present day. And the top floor is occupied by these young investment bankers and these stockbrokers. I run the stockbroking company. And down on the ground floor are the janitors and the maintenance staff. And there's a super smoking female janitor who falls in love with one of my young stockbrokers. Well, that's impossible. He can't have that kind of arm candy if he wants to climb the corporate ladder.
Right.
That's not possible. And she can't be with him because he's one of the one percenters, and all the cadre of friends that she's surrounded by loathe everything he stands for. So this young kid will be in a tug of war between where I'm telling him he should go and his career path and love. So essentially,
it's the American Downton Abbey, John. That's what it is.
It's Downton Abbey meets Romeo and Juliet. It upstairs, downstairs. Which those are pretty good things to be in the company of.
Sure.
And it's really quick and bright and vibrant and glib and sardonic and hilarious.
All right,
I'm going to look up some of those words. Come on, know your audience, John. It's just Kevin Bean. Dumb it down. It's a very, very funny show, and you talked about that live audience. Are those laughs for real, or are we getting a little help in the studio there, John?
No, there's about 450 people on stage 19 when we shoot it, and the tricky thing is with what is called a laugh track, which it's not. A laugh track would be on MASH when they're up at the Disney Ranch and they're shooting an exterior, and clearly there's not 450 people.
Right.
So they add a laugh track. Mm-hmm. With Ground Floor and Big Bang and Two and a Half Men, what you hear is what you get.
Right.
The only problem is the audience is so jacked up and so goosed and ready and ready to laugh. Sometimes I ask you what time it is, and it gets a big laugh.
Right.
And so I wished there was a way to pod that down.
But they turn it up when they get in there. They have the hype man that gets in there and pumps them up.
Yeah, yeah. And so I wished all the earned laughs. I wish there was a way to segregate the earned laughs and then the ones where people are just jacked out of their minds and they laugh at everything.
How do you handle it when they laugh more than you thought they were going to, and you're ready to move on to your next line? Is it a hard thing to gauge?
Yes, yes. And that has to be an instrument that can be refined as you're going, because it can throw you off.
Ground Floor, TBS, Thursday nights at 10. You should definitely check it out. Great great cast, and of course all surrounding the great John C. McGinley, who it's always a pleasure to catch. You tell the best stories, John, and you have such an interesting life, and we always appreciate when you come in and share a little bit of it with us. We really do.
I love coming in with you guys. You're the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 8:53. I got to tell you, I feel like John C. McGinley was too smart for us.
He is too smart for us.
Most people are too smart for us.
We need a translator to come in here and talk to us like we talk.
I
love having him in there.
How great is he? How great are his stories, Ralph?
Great.
You enjoy that? I enjoyed that very much.
I enjoyed that.
Hey, Ralph wasn't listening. Hey, how about both nights of the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Used to Christmas this Saturday and Sunday at the Shrine? We are looking for contestants right now at 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn them. We have another game for you to play coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat.
I saw John in Glenn Ross on
Oh,
Broadway.
Did you?
Yeah. Him
what a cast.
And Pacino and Bobby Cannavale, who I think won a Tony maybe, but at least he was nominated. And I don't want to leave him out because he was so great. Who played Toby on West Wing?
Richard Schiff.
Richard Schiff was also in it. Was amazing in that show. So it was an amazing cast, and yeah, everybody was just terrific. Really, it was a special night at the theater. So it was nice to meet John and be able to talk to him about that a little bit. So, music news. I know you guys are all big fans of the Croatian rock star Jaboni. You love Jaboni like I do?
That's a question you have to ask Lisa.
You Jaboni fans?
You betcha.
Well, Lisa loves Jaboni. His new record, 20th Century Man.
Yeah.
Recently recorded at London's Abbey Road Studios, is now available. You can pick it up. It is it's an album. It's an LP. You
right.
play it on your record player.
I don't have a record player.
Vinyl.
We'll get one. Well, no. See, that's the thing. Not vinyl.
Oh, what?
See, that's the point of the story is it's chocolate.
Yeah.
What? So Kevin will buy it then.
Wait, what?
What part of that did you understand, man? It's just your basic chocolate album. But it's your chocolate LP.
It's a but it does it play?
Of course it plays.
Not of course, it's made of chocolate.
Can you play
but
it?
Can you eat it?
Of course you can.
No, I can't have both.
It is both. It is a perfectly playable record LP. Playable on a turntable and also completely edible.
Here's a taste.
Yeah, you might want to put a penny on your arm of your player there because I think it's skipping. It sounds like there's something wrong with that pressing.
It's made of chocolate, is what you're saying. That is edible.
A completely chocolate album. You can play it on your turntable and then just eat it.
That's hilarious.
Jaboni's a huge star in Croatia and the Balkans, of course.
They've run out of ideas there?
Apparently.
I mean, this is basically it.
Jaboni says, I read that chocolate contains a hormone of happiness and boosts your libido. So I thought it was a perfect combination. My music and chocolate.
All right.
Can I just eat some chocolate while I'm listening to your music, Jaboni? Or do
no.
I have to actually eat your music?
You have to give up a song if you want to enjoy the taste of it.
Yeah. I'd be torn, man. I'd be torn. Do I play Jaboni's new track, or do I eat Jaboni's
it?
New track?
Yeah.
As Kevin said, here's a taste. Here's a taste of his new record. See what you did there?
Yeah.
Didn't even know you did it, did you?
Nope.
It was spectacular.
Thank you.
Orlando Bloom may have a new girlfriend. He just parted ways with his wife, Miranda Kerr, in October. Word is he's got a brand new love. Liv Tyler.
Ooh.
According to Star Magazine.
All right.
They were very cozy backstage at a Broadway show. Met the cast, and then did a lot of tickling, they say.
What?
Tickling, eye-gazing, and holding hands at the after party after a show. So they enjoyed themselves very much. I'd like to tickle Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
With my tickle stick. You know what I'm saying?
No. I don't know what you're saying. You have a stick that you like to tickle with?
Chocolate Jabroni album. You know what I'm saying?
I don't.
I don't think I do either. It's tonight. Don't miss it. The Sound of Music, live, Maria Von Trapp, on stage again as Carrie Underwood portrays her. She's got everything, man. Carrie Underwood, she's got...
She's pretty hot.
Hair.
She's also a good singer.
She does have hair.
Clothes.
That's correct.
She's got it all.
You don't like her, do you, Ralph?
I don't, no.
You like country music.
I find her... Well, I find her, even in country music, I find her devoid of personality. I think she's a wind-up toy. She's out there, and she sounds like a country star, and she looks like a country star, but I just don't think there's any there.
A lot of
female country stars think we have enormous personalities. I think
right.
Faith Hill's a blast.
Miranda Lambert.
Lambert has a lot of fun on stage. It's a lot of, especially female country performers, I think can really deliver. But she strikes me as an empty dress.
Okay.
So you will not be checking out The Sound of Music.
I shan't. Although okay. I did, of course, play Captain Von Trapp on stage myself.
Of course.
Wow, really?
I will be curious to see Stephen Moyer of True Blood's interpretation versus my own.
Does that still exist? I know we've talked about it in the past, but I don't remember. You still have a copy of
it. I wonder
if
I have some video of that performance. I may.
We would like to put that up on YouTube.
I may. It was a while ago.
Yep.
There may only be charcoal etchings on a cave wall somewhere, actually, of my performance.
I would like to see those.
But I think maybe, if nothing else, I think I have perhaps some still photographs.
Now, was that the role that Christopher Plummer played in the movie? Was
yes.
that the role that kind of made him a worldwide heartthrob and superstar?
He was a very popular Shakespearean actor, a stage actor, in the UK. And in Canada, of course. He's a Canadian. And... But I think that was the thing that brought him to the national.
That's what all the little girls fell in love with him. That's for sure.
Sure did.
Same with Ralph.
Yeah, I was up there. I was rocking Edelweiss.
Right.
Yeah. I remember I was very, a very serious young actor, and I was very dedicated to the role. And this was in high school, and so I committed myself wholeheartedly to the role. Except now, when I look at the photographs, I realize perhaps I should have gotten a haircut.
All right.
As I betrayed an Austrian war hero in the 30s, perhaps the parted in the middle, feathered back, gray hair was not the way to go for the true impact of that era. Perhaps I don't think a lot of Austrians were rocking sort of the feathered, parted in the middle hair in the 30s.
I demand a photo of that.
Do you demand it?
Better video of that. Yes, I do.
If you ask nicely, you might get it. But if you demand it, I don't think you're going to get anything.
I would love nothing better.
Except perhaps a little rendition live right now of me doing Edelweiss.
No, I'd rather see it when you had the hair.
Edelweiss, every morning you greet me soft and white.
All right, seriously.
Bloom and grow forever.
All right. We got it. Actually, we got the flavor of it now.
That's enough. Edelweiss. All right. Bless my homeland forever.
Will you stop it with that?
Ralph, if you don't pipe down, I'm giving you an F.
That is currently available in chocolate right now. You can pick that up if you want to get that record. Today's celebrity birthdays: Frankie Muniz is 28 years old today. Jessica Paré turns 31. Paula Patton is 38 years old today. Judd Apatow, director, writer, mogul, 46 years old today. David Lovering of the Pixies is 52. And Peter Buck of R.E.M., 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
One of the most fascinating things going on Twitter right now is a rap battle between our friend Jensen Karp and Tom Hanks' son, who fancies himself a rapper named Chet Hayes.
Yep.
It has been hilarious, and it has escalated to new heights, and I think it involved Chet Hayes threatening to fine Jensen Karp and maybe beat him up.
Love
it. We're gonna find out what the latest is on that with our friend Jensen in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, who wants to go to both nights of the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Tuesday to Christmas? If that's you, you should be on the phone right now as we play a little game we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to
the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Oh, yeah!
I don't feel like we put our heart into that one. I gotta be honest.
I feel like Omar has to come back for vacation at some point, right? All right, Kevin, remind the folks on hold and the people listening on the radio how this game works, please.
The way Bean writes it, which is the right way, you have to come up with 5 items in 10 seconds. That's it. He'll give you the topic. You have to come up with 5 answers in 10 seconds.
All right. If you do that, you go into the drawing, and Lisa May will keep track of how many win their way in. Only one can win tickets to both nights of the shows this weekend. They will all be acoustic Christmas related, too. Who's our first contestant?
Raphael is a truck driver. Hi.
Hello. Good morning. Being Lisa.
Good morning.
Kevin, Ralph.
Raphael, you're not drinking behind the wheel, are you?
No, Bean, I am not.
You sound a little drunk like I
do
all the time.
You don't sound like a guy who's going to come up with 5 things in 10 seconds. I'll tell you that. All right, here we go.
My money's on Raphael.
Listen up. You have 10 seconds on the clock. We're talking about bands playing acoustic Christmas this weekend. So in honor of Cage the Elephant and Arctic Monkeys, who will both be there, in 10 seconds, please name for me 5 other animals that you might find in the zoo. Good luck.
Elephant, tiger, lion, monkey, zebra, giraffe.
Yep. There you go. He already did it. Look at that.
Well, but he said elephant first, which was one that was – I needed other animals. So elephant didn't count. But then he came up with another one at the end, and he did get 5. So you are in the drawing, Raphael, confusingly enough. Congratulations.
Total Recall.
Nicely done. All right. Let's go to Jorge. Hi.
Hey, Kevin. I'm being handy tonight.
Hello.
Jorge, New Politics is joining our lineup on night number 1 this Saturday at the Shrine. For you, in 10 seconds, I'd like you to name, please, 5 United States presidents. Good luck.
George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Barack Obama, George Bush Jr., George Bush Sr.
There you go. Look
we'll
at that.
Accept junior and senior, even though they weren't. That's 5. Congratulations. You're in the drawing.
All right. Let's go to Richard. Hi, Richard.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I'm being told you were a contestant yesterday as well.
Yeah, I messed up. I was supposed to say lower, and I was thinking higher on the Brom Stoker question.
Ah, yes.
By the way, what's the secret for the people who have been trying round the clock to win these tickets and only get a busy signal? How did you actually get through 2 days in a row?
Well, if I give away my secret, I might not get in.
Good point.
All right.
In tomorrow's game.
Yeah, hopefully I win today. I don't have to worry about tomorrow.
All right, sir, listen up. Total Recall for acoustic Christmas tickets for both nights. Portugal the Man is playing night number 2. For you, sir, please name 5 other European countries. Good luck.
Italy, Spain, Germany, Berlin, Russia, West Germany. I'm lost.
I got four because I don't. I got four.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he did not make it. He did not make it. You could have come up with.
He said
Serbia,
Berlin, and that's not.
Berlin was not one, yeah. Right? Finland, Norway, Luxembourg, Belgium, France. There's a lot of them out there. I'm sorry. Nice try, though. We'll talk to you tomorrow at this time.
All right, let's go to Sandra. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Sandra, how you been doing listening on hold so far?
Oh, nervous.
But have you been coming up with them in your mind?
Yes.
Okay.
Playing along.
All right.
All right, good luck, my dear. In honor of the bands appearing with us this weekend, Queens of the Stone Age and Kings of Leon, I would like for you to name me five movies that involve characters who are royalty. Five movies with characters who play royalty. Good luck.
Oh, my God. Camelot. Princess Diana.
So one. Sorry.
I got to tell you, Sandra, you got one more than I would have.
I'm serious. You mentioned Camelot. There's also like The King and I, of course. Last King of Scotland, The Last Emperor, The Lion King, Elizabeth.
And that is my favorite genre.
The Queen, Troy.
All right, Bean, stop!
Coming to America, Alexander. There are a lot of them, but I know it's very tough when you're put on the spot. But thank you for playing, okay?
We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, let's do one more contestant, and then we'll find out who's going to win these tickets.
All right, this is Al. Hello, Al.
Good morning, guys.
All right,
I'm very
Al.
Nervous.
Good luck to you. Hope you make it in the drawing. The band AFI is playing night number two this Sunday night. I would like for you to name me five other commonly used three-letter abbreviations or acronyms. I'll give you a hint that we're looking for things like the FBI or TSA. Don't use those, but give me five other three-letter acronyms. 10 seconds on the clock. Good luck.
PTA.
Sorry.
Bean took two of the big ones away.
Well, there's CIA, BBC. There's also texting things like LOL, OMG. There's airports like LAX. There's the NFL, MLB.
Right.
Networks like CBS, right. NBC. A lot of,
right.
lot of things you could choose
all
from.
Right, Bean.
All right, take it easy. Al's already
UFO,
upset.
MIA, right. USA,
okay.
IBM. Okay,
all right.
You got it. All right, we already have, how many people?
Two
in the drawing? Is that right? Just Raphael and Jorge. Who wins the tickets to join us this weekend, please?
It is Raphael.
Raphael, the first person we talked to.
Unbelievable. None of us thought he would even make it onto the air.
Raphael,
thank you.
You got both nights.
All right. You know, you're not. I'm loading up the truck right now.
All right. Stop drinking.
Renaissance man Jensen Karp is on the phone. He is not only the Kevin Bean hip-hop correspondent, but you know him as a previous rapper in another life named Hot Carl. He owns the Gallery 1988. He's a podcaster, writer, producer. He does it all. And now he's involved in the most hilarious Twitter feud I've seen in a long time. Jensen, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. As a hip-hop correspondent, I'm fine talking about anything in rap music. I'm just surprised how engulfed I've actually become in this story. It's very strange.
It is a bizarre story.
It's
now,
so weird.
Most people don't even know that Tom Hanks has another son outside of Colin Hanks, who we see on the TV and in the movies, but he does. And he goes by the rap name of Chet Hayes, and for some reason you've been clowning on him a lot in the last week. How come, Jensen?
Well, here's the thing, and I don't want to make it just about Chester Hanks. I want to sort of explain that my problem with hip-hop a lot is the art form I love. I've grown up in it. It was how I made a living for a long time. It's that I give a lot of credibility to people who come out and explain who they truly are through music. And I'm not saying that that's the most important thing in the world, but for me in hip-hop and the way that hip-hop's been brought up, it seems significant for us to watch you be yourself. And Chet would go on Twitter and he would say these things like, yo, check me out at the Fairfax High. I'm about to kill that microphone and bless you with some spoken words. and I would just retweet it and just be like, your dad is in Catch Me If You Can. You know, I just wanted to remind him of what's going on in this sort of weird character he's playing. And if he's trying to be Lonely Island, then he's completely succeeding. And it's very funny. And that's not the case.
Okay, so your problem is not even, we haven't talked about his rap skills. I don't know whether he's good or not. Your problem isn't even his skills as much as he's starting off inauthentic, and that bugs you.
Yeah, and he seems to be, and I guess you'll get to what ended up happening from that point on, but he seems to be caught up in the idea that I don't think he should be rapping, which is actually not the case. I grew up in Woodland Hills, California. I'm not pretending to be the toughest guy that's ever picked up a microphone. The whole goal is you need to just be yourself, you know, and I don't feel like I'm helping Chester. I'm explaining to him no one's going to give him the chance if he's going to sit there and have his shirt off talking about banging dime pieces and smoking kush. We know you went to the Turner and Hooch premiere. You know what I mean?
So is he taking, when you write those things, and they're very funny, and by the way, Jensen has a million of them. Your dad was in Castaway. You know, he has a million of those sorts of things. He's interpreting that as thinking, because I'm Tom Hanks' son, this fool doesn't think I should be able to have my own life. Is that his takeaway from what you're tweeting back to him?
His take, and by no way, shape, or form am I saying that. Like, when everyone was talking about that TV show Girls on HBO and everyone was mad that their parents are famous, I think the show's great. You know what I mean? Like, Drake was on Degrassi High growing up. I don't hold that against him. He's making great music, and I feel like he's being mostly himself. So I think it's not about that. I would appreciate anyone doing an art form that they appreciate. I just, as a person who loves hip-hop almost like it's a family member to me, it just seems slightly disgraceful for him to be emulating things that he's seen for so long on the TV and pretending that it's him.
Right. So after a while of the Twitter battle, which was mostly you,
Let me just butt in real quick. How many tweets did you send out before he responded?
Only like three or four. He wrote one. I mean, I've done that. Your dad is in a couple times, and then recently, I think the one that got him most mad was he wrote "Chillin' with Ma Duke," and I was like, "Oh, that's." And I clicked the picture, and it was just a picture of him with the mom from Friday, and I was like, "Yeah, but your mom is Rita Wilson."
So, what did he say when he got back to you?
He was just like, "So you saying because my dad is Tom Hanks that I can't be doing this?" And he was like, "No, that's what you would do because you're basic." And I was like,
"All right." When did he start ragging on you for being white and Jewish, by the way?
Well, he's never said Jewish. I won't give him that. I think he's just repeatedly said that I'm nerdy, which being authentic, I am very nerdy.
Right. You're cool with that.
I'm very cool with that. I like being myself. Being myself.
Do you like to be basic?
Listen, if he finds me to be basic, I'll take basic. I find him to be inauthentic, he should take inauthentic.
All right, Jensen, when did it turn into a potential rap battle? Where did that idea come from?
Well, I'm pretty sure he never Googled my name.
Right.
And so we were just sort of going back and forth, and I'm sure you can find it on Twitter if you guys want to look. And it's just funny to me. We would go back and forth, and I think I'm trying to think of some of the jokes I even said to him, but they weren't nice. And he would just sort of keep telling me he's going to beat me up over and over again, which was crazy because I was in no way, shape, or form being physical.
I will beat your ass if I see you in person. And
yeah,
he wrote that in response to you saying, "Your dad is Captain Phillips."
And he would say, I think he said that, and he said, he was like, "And if I see you, I'm going to beat your ass and you're going to have nothing to do after." And I was like, "Nah, I'm going to get your dad's boat."
So was it his idea, though? Like you said, he didn't Google you because he thought you were just a comedian or a wise ass. He didn't know that you actually have rap.
Yeah,
so
he
thought you were a blogger. So he suggested a rap battle, and of course, you immediately said, "You tell me where I went, I'll be there." Right?
Yeah, and then 200 people I think wrote him writing, "You just don't know what you did. You have no idea."
That's a shame that people warned him.
Yeah, and there's just a beast inside me, and people who don't know, like, I was an L.A. rap champion. I battled for 50 days on the radio every single day. I was a machine as a child. I mean, it's been 10 years, but, you know, it's not like riding a bike.
You could probably beat Chester Hanks. All right, what do you let's talk about his skills for a moment, then we're going to play a clip. How do you rate him as a rapper?
Not very good. I mean, and the great part is like, that's not even really what I'm mad about. Like, I feel like there's a lot of terrible rappers out there, and I don't sit there and pick on them on Twitter it's inauthentic, and you'll feel that when you hear the music.
Let's play a little bit of Chester Hanks rapping as Chet Hayes, and then we'll find out what the result is, whether there will be a rap battle or not. Listen up.
Cause you know I gotta get in my zone, turn my swag on and holler, cause that helps with these clones. So it's Gucci, Louis Prada, whatever you want. Take you shopping when I wanna, it's whatever you want. Keep you looking tip top, probably pop a few bottles. Time to speed it up like we push it on the throttle.
Hey, I've heard a lot worse on the radio, by the way.
That's not terrible.
Not terrible. I mean, it's just my thing is about, you know, it's really tough for me to take you as authentic talking about what you're talking about when you grew up near the bench, like the Brentwood Country Mart.
Yeah.
Right. I'm actually not hating Jensen tweets. I'm trying to help. No one wants to hear the fake black accent from a kid who knows the Spielbergs. So what happened when he found out?
I'm being sweet. I'm being very nice.
You are being nice.
When he found out who you were, what your background was, he backed off of the idea of a rap battle, so that's not happening, right?
Well, no. Then yesterday he did say the battle is possible. He
said, fantastic.
With a hashtag of honest. He said honest on it. But then the next six tweets, which he's now erased, were just about if I see him, I'm going to knock him out. I'm going to Sharkeesha him, which is this very sort of coded racist meme, in my opinion. But he basically went about just beating me up physically, and at that point I'm just like, did you not know what a battle was when you challenged me to
one?
Like,
he thinks he's fighting someone.
Yeah, he's fighting someone. So now I'm sort of at this point where I'd like to take Tom Hanks's money as his son tries to beat me up, but I'm very much at the essence of hip hop. It's not about violence. It's about being able to step up about the challenges that you've given. And to be the best MC has been in my heart, even though I've sort of taken 10 years off. You can't just make that beast go away. So if he wanted to battle and we wanted to set that up, I would be privileged.
Gotcha.
To set that up.
TMZ was trying to get Chester to come on, and he would not, right? He just thought they were going to just make fun of him if he came on, right?
Yeah, TMZ, a bunch of people had contacted both of us about coming on, and I'm willing I think I'm helping Chester. People are talking about his music. And
that's true.
That's been helpful. And you just said that you've heard worse. So I feel like, which I don't know how big blaring of a, you're going to put that on the CD cover.
I've heard worse.
Yeah. The truth is, I feel I'm helping. I feel like I've been in his position. I've been a white rapper. I've been those things. I know he's going to want to be himself. And my thing is, I don't want to be in a position where we degrade hip hop and he comes out and brings 55 people to beat up a kid who, you know, I have a career. Like, I'm just trying to help him, and I'd love to battle because that's in my blood.
Understood.
If he just wants to make diss songs back and forth, I'm down for anything, Chester.
You're good with that too. All right. Okay. All right.
Guys, The Burbs is my favorite movie.
I love The Burbs as well.
Clearly Tom Hanks' best work. All right, you should be following all of this at Jensen's very funny Twitter account. It's at JensenClan88, and he always likes to mention that's Clan with a C, not with a K, okay? It's JensenClan88.
I'm not racist.
And there's lots of great prints up at gallery1988.com if you're looking for something special art-wise for this Christmas season as well, or Hanukkah, for that matter, Jensen. All right, dude, thanks so much for coming on. Great to catch up with you, sir.
Always around. Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42.
Any day where we don't have time for either Santa on a helicopter or fruitcake this time of year makes me pretty sad, but we'll try again tomorrow, I guess. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat to wind up this Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Just the best thing ever. We've got a new superhero. New superhero in our midst, people.
In your world, this is like Christmas and New Year put together, right?
Oh, white smoke came out of the chimney. That's what it is. Rejoicing in the streets.
Well, there aren't enough superheroes, that's for sure.
Let's party, because we got a new superhero.
And who is it this time?
Wonder Woman!
Wonder Woman! All the world is waiting for you. And the power you possess.
In your sandal tights.
Fighting for your rights. And the old red, white, and blue.
Well, we don't have to wait anymore. We've got Wonder Woman. First time a Wonder Woman played by a live-action actress since Linda Carter, way back in the day on the TV. Gal Gadot!
Gal Gadot!
Gal Gadot! You know her from Fast and the Furious, 4, 5,
great
and 6.
News. I've been waiting for Gadot.
Is that a bad joke that I just don't understand?
Yeah, it's a reference to a play called Waiting for Godot, which is...
Oh, it's that's right. I got it.
Really?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Wait, really? That's the punchline? I'm happy I didn't know that. I'm a prouder person now than I was 5 seconds ago.
Former Miss Israel, actress, model... She will be Wonder Woman in the upcoming Batman versus Superman movie. Very exciting times.
Now, what side does she come down on?
She is, she's, what?
Oh, is she her own deal?
Two of them? I think she's her own deal, yeah. Okay. Wonder Woman stands alone. She's like the cheese. She stands alone. She is, of course, an Israeli, beautiful Israeli actress and model.
So Wonder Woman will not fight crime from sundown on Friday night until sundown on Saturday, apparently. She'll just, most of the time she'll fight crime, but she'll take some time off for the Sabbath. So that's good news for all of us. Very exciting times. We've got a new Wonder Woman.
I feel like you're more excited about that than Bean or I put together.
Yeah. And probably most people listening. Well, Ralph, for most of us, a superhero is pretty low down on the list of things that we're concerned with.
You can hear him.
He's still talking?
You can hear every word.
No, something's wrong with my headphones, I think.
I mean, we might go to the movie when it comes out, but we're not going to spend 2 years waiting for it.
It's like, I don't know. It's like something on water or something.
You can hear every word he's saying, Ralph.
It's strange. I just hear Charlie Brown's school teacher. Remember, I was just talking about how proud I was of Phil Collins?
Yes.
For walking away and,
said,
and just doing his thing and having his success.
Yep.
And just go and enjoy. Yeah. Phil Collins just announced he is putting together new solo material. And there may be some Genesis reunion concerts in Australia and South America next year.
Did you say that? Was it yesterday?
I believe it was.
I
it's
think
as
so,
if he
too.
Heard me and had to correct me.
Oh, sorry.
Called RollingStone.com. He's in Germany this week. Where they are debuting his Tarzan stage musical. And he says, yeah, he's getting back into it. He's writing and recording new solo material. So I lied.
You did lie.
Doesn't have to, though, right?
Doesn't have to. Yeah, he has got nerve damage, which makes it impossible for him to play drums any longer. And on the last Genesis tour, last time he performed, Phil's voice was in bad shape, and everyone was complaining about how poorly he sang.
Oh, no.
So it's a good time for a comeback, I think, Phil. You got all the tools.
And everybody's right, poised for that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this question.
No.
Obviously in the air tonight, so let's take that one out of the rotation. Is there any other Phil Collins song that you would listen to in 2013 if it came on the radio?
Hells yeah.
For reals, there's a Phil Collins song that still holds interest for you?
Against all odds.
No.
Ah, oh, love that song.
No.
Take a look at me now.
Right.
You would listen to that if you're wrong.
Not just an empty thing.
Right, so then you would listen to those two lines, and then you would find something else.
You coming back to me is against all odds. That's just what I've got to face. So take a look at me now.
I'd flip over to my Chet Hayes CD.
Would you?
How about you, Lisa? Any Phil Collins song that has stood the test of time for you?
I do like the one that Ralph was
saying.
I think that's a good
Lisa.
One.
Let's go
would
slow
you listen
dance.
To it if it
let's
came on?
Let's go slow yeah. dance to it.
Okay. That one.
Look,
I know Kevin and I are over here.
Songs.
Yeah, I'm with Bean on this side where we're not listening to.
We're not probably going to pop in Susu Studio at any
right.
point.
You'll never listen to that again.
Easy Lover, perhaps, we'll leave behind.
Be fine without that.
But like Abacab, like some of his Genesis stuff, I thought was pretty cool.
You're still into it. Okay. All right. Back to you.
Look, obviously it's not for everybody, but there must be fans out there who would like to see him.
I don't even
again.
Know what that is.
My concern is not so much what he did, but what he can still do.
Yeah, can
he, even for those fans,
can he pull that off?
You don't want it. It's going to have to be a Meatloaf situation where you go there and go, "What the hell? This is no. Where's the guy?
What happened to Meatloaf?
Where's the guy who I before?
I want Meatloaf
when I used to go when I the before times.
No way, no way. Get real.
Never. Very excited about seeing Lorde this weekend. By the way,
me too.
Acoustic Christmas. She will be performing tomorrow night on the Grammy Nominations Concert Live event. CBS will be telecasting. Also performing when they announce the major categories for the Grammys. Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Robin Thicke will take the stage. And apparently Taylor Swift and Katy Perry have already taped performances that will also be aired during that event. That is tomorrow night on CBS. You can check
so
it
I
out.
Bet all of those people you just named are up for some Grammy nominations, too.
I would think so.
If they're invited to that party.
Especially the Lorde.
Sure.
Don't forget about the Lorde. Lorde helps those who help themselves. That's what I found.
It's a different Lorde, I think.
What?
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure that's
I
a different
I wondered
one.
Why she didn't have a beard when she was in here.
Very different person.
No robes, no sandals.
Mm-mm.
She walked right past a leper, didn't even help him. I said, that can't be the same Lorde.
Was a leopard on the way in here?
was a leper on a leopard in the lobby. Imagine my surprise seeing a leper riding a leopard around. You don't see that every day.
You know what I'm saying.
Here in the hood. Kerry Russell, she had a shock. Of course, you know her from The Americans. And,
oh, she's so good in that. When does that come back?
Jeez. What's why are you yelling at me?
It's been like 2 years since The Americans.
I don't know.
Very soon. They're running ads for a couple months, I think.
She was sleeping early yesterday morning, all nestled, cozy in her bed. Two guys break into her house in Brooklyn.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Luckily, they just stole stuff from her. They didn't hurt her. Her Filson bag, her MacBook Air, necklaces, earrings, all missing. She had to report the crime to local authorities. But
so she just said, here you go.
But she didn't wake up.
Oh, she wasn't even awake.
No, can you imagine? Imagine sleeping and waking up and seeing someone had gone through your house and you didn't even know about it.
Wow.
That's even creepier.
I think it would scare me more that I didn't wake up. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently there is a suspect, a father and son burglary team, suspected perhaps of being the culprit. So
that's nice that somebody's spending some time with his son.
Well, you want to get your kid in the family business.
Yeah.
Kid, Kevin's taught his kids to drive a party bus. Come on, kids, fourth gear is now for party bus time.
I don't know why, but I always feel like celebrities like Kerry Russell must have like totally bitchin' security systems. You know,
yeah, you would
like,
think so.
You couldn't break into her house if you wanted to because she's extra fortified. But
she did have a totally bitchin' security system, but unfortunately, it was from the '80s, and so it was easy to bypass because it was totally bitchin'. She had the tubular security system to the max. But sadly, they were able to bypass it because they live in the 21st century.
I thought you, as a Phil Collins fan in 2013, would get the reference.
Don't put it back on me. Grody. They had a grody security system that just was very easy to bypass.
Stop.
Because they gagged it with a spoon.
Gagged me with a spoon.
I beat you to it. I win. Yeah, you did. Today's celebrity birthdays. Peter Buck of REM is 57 years old today. David Lovering of the Pixies is 52. Judd Apatow. 46 years old. Actress Paula Patton is 38. Jessica Perret from Mad Men. She plays Don Draper's wife on that show. Frankie Muniz is 28 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. Take a look at me now.
Nope.
Because I'm just an empty space. And you got me. I walked the showbiz beat.
Does that make it difficult?
It does.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to the new USC coach. He's got nothing to live up to. Steve Sarkisian, I believe is how you say his name. Miss Double December begins. We have our first contestant.
Vote now.
Allie will be here tomorrow morning, and we're going to interview her and talk about what she's
doing. The good Allie or the bad Allie?
Two Allies.
Allie L.
Oh, Allie L.
Oh, I love her. Okay. Keezing, by the way. I love the other one, too.
Right, I know.
Just a joke.
We also have Movie Beat because it's Friday. We have Cousin Sal talking about his NFL picks. We have Maggie Q, the star of Nikita.
Two
very excited about that.
Two hearts that beat as one.
Nope. And we also have Chris D'Elia, I believe is how you say his name.
Take a look at me now.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm just an empty space.